I'd like to call to order the April 29th regular meeting of the Emergency Medical Care Committee. My name is Wolfgang Kanabe. I'm the chair. Forgive if we have a couple little nuances here. We're in a room that we're not normally in, so the microphone situation is a little unique. What I'd like to do before we'd like to introduce our committee members here. So starting to my right, if we could have introductions.
Sam Stratton, Orange County EMS.
Rebecca Gomez, Tustin City Council member representing the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council.
Tim Greco, Medical Director, St. Jude Hospital, Emergency Room, representing the 4th District.
Lindley Garcia, Clinical Director, Emergency Department at Kaiser Anaheim, representing Orange County Business Council.
Jim Karras, Vice President, Chief Operating Officer, AmeriCare Ambulance Service, representing the Ambulance Association of Orange County.
Therese Gutierrez, Emergency Department Manager at Chalk Children's Hospital, representing Orange Coast Emergency Nurses Association.
Tammy McConnell, Orange County EMS Administrator.
Dean Gross, Council Member, City of Los Alamitos, representing the League of California Cities.
Mike Ritter, Medical Director of the Emergency Department of Mission Hospital, representing the 5th District Board of Supervisors.
Virgin Arbutus CEO, La Palma Intercommunity Hospital and West Anaheim Medical Center, representing Hospital Association of Southern California.
Nick Annis, Director of Pediatric Critical Care, Chalk Children's Hospital, representing 3rd District.
Jen Ha Park, President of the California Radiological Society, representing the 2nd District.
Great. Welcome, everyone. And again, my name is Wolfgang Kanabe. I'm representing Orange County Fire Chiefs Association, and I will chair the meeting. A couple announcements. Our regular business is going to be items 1 through 7. Item 8 will be a public hearing. So anybody wishing to speak, there is a basket up in front here if they would just put their the cards in there. And we will have public comment on items 1 through 7, and then item 8 will have a separate public comment because it's a public hearing. So at this point, if we we'll go to approval of the minutes. And
so move.
I have a move. Second?
Second.
Move and a second. Any objections? Okay, minutes approved. Next, we're going to go to Orange County reports of correspondence, and give it to Dr. Stratton for the medical director's report.
And I'll keep this brief. One thing, I think many of you already are aware that Dr. Miller, our assistant medical director and the medical director for the Orange County Fire Authority, has accepted as a full-time position the medical director position in Santa Clara and has already started his new job up there. The second item I would like to, I don't know where Laurent is, but have a quick report on the OC Meds program, if Laurent's coming up.
Thank you, Dr. Stratton. I do have a brief report. Members of the committee, I'm Laurent Repass, EMS Information Systems Chief for Orange County EMS. I'll provide you a brief report in regard to the Orange County Medical Emergency Data System and the processes that we are implementing. Orange County EMS has had an electronic patient care reporting system in place since 2013. In that time, we've seen 98% compliance by 911 EMS providers. While the system has been fully operational for over 3 years, many new state and federal requirements necessitate that we enhance and replace some components of the system to stay current with new health information standards. Recent California legislation like AB 1129 has created a new statewide mandate, 1797.227 of the Health and Safety Code, that all EMS providers, both public and private, emergency and non-emergency, must utilize an electronic patient care reporting system, and that system must be certified compliant with the current version of the National EMS Information System, or NEMSIS, version 3.4. It is also required that all EMS providers ensure that their systems meet these new state and federal mandates no later than January 1st of 2017. Fortunately, OCMS has already taken all of the necessary steps to ensure that our systems meet these new state and federal requirements. We have been working with all local EMS providers to assist them with making the transition as well. With that said, I'm pleased to announce that some EMS providers have already enhanced their systems and have already implemented them. So far, the following EMS providers have successfully implemented their enhanced patient care reporting systems: the Newport Beach Fire Department, Premier Medical Transport out of Brea. The following EMS providers have been confirmed to be fully implementing their new systems that meet these new standards within the next 1 to 2 months: the Garden Grove Fire Department, as well as the City of Orange Fire Department. We will continue to provide updates as they become available, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that the committee may have.
Thank you, Laurent. Also posted on our website and in today's agenda packet is the hospital diversion report for the first quarter of 2016. Again, this is within the packet and also posted publicly on the Orange County EMS website. Also, as with the diversion report, the performance report for county contracted ambulance zones is in the packet and also posted on the website. Then finally, for our report, we have two items of correspondence, which would be tab 4, also posted on the website. Letters from Mr. Wontrofsky, dated February 10th of 2016 and December 24th of 2015. And that completes our OCEMS report.
Thank you, Dr. Stratton. Our next item will be the EMCC Advisory Subcommittee and Advisor Group reports.
So I will I'll summarize three of these, but ask Mr. Karras if he doesn't mind, as the chair of the Transportation Advisory Committee, to give their report. Yes,
thank you, Dr. Stratton. The committee met this past Tuesday, and it heard the report in greater detail on the Orange County OC Med system. And it's really encouraging to see the advancements. I think Orange County is well positioned to be fully implemented by the deadline, well in advance of many EMS systems, not only here in California, but throughout the country. So my congratulations to Laurent and the EMS agency on that. We really are the model for many other organizations and systems to follow. Okay, and then next on the item was a review of the policies that are before you today. So I will save comments on that just to say that was discussed at the committee level, and those were basically the items for the committee. Thank you.
And then continuing with the remainder of the committee's Facilities Advisory Committee, the County Paramedic Advisory Committee, and Education and Training. Similarly, the policies were discussed that we have on the agenda today. EMS system data requirements and the state law mandating compliance by next January. The San Clemente Hospital closure, which we have on the agenda today, was also discussed. So that summarizes these other three committees. And with that, I don't think there are any other elements of the report, unless there are any questions by members of the EMCC. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Stratton. At this point, Dr. Stratton, is there any unfinished business we have, or with any of the committee members, would like to bring anything up that's unfinished business? Okay, hearing none. At this time, what I'd like to do is go ahead and open up to public comment on any of the items, including item 7. Again, item number 8 will have its separate public comments. So at this time, anyone wishing to comment on items number 1 through 7?
We have one speaker on item 7B.
Okay. All right. Would the person like to come up and speak?
Chad.
Oh, here we go.
Sorry. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members, and agency staff. I'm Chad Druten. I'm the current president of the Ambulance Association of Orange County. Thank you for the opportunity to provide our thoughts on the proposed policy changes. We represent about 10 member companies from throughout the county. We serve an estimated 80% of the county's population with both the emergency and non-emergency ambulance services. As is clear as in the correspondence you've been provided in the packet, our association has some major concerns over the policies and differences of opinion. Now, I need to state that all of our companies are interested in ensuring that we have one of the best EMS systems in the state, and we do want to work with the EMS agency to make sure that's a reality. The betterment of the EMS system is all we seek. However, with regard to the policies before you, we respectfully request that with concern to policies number 720.30, 720.50, 720.60, your committee reject them and instead refer them back to Transportation Advisory to the subcommittee and or direct the OCMS staff to meet with the providers in an attempt to reach consensus, basically to iron out some of the differences we have. We strongly believe that it's probably in the best it's probably the best option for all concerned. We don't object to any standards of cleanliness or to personnel that are properly vetted, properly licensed to provide services. Instead, we've been concerned about matters of preemptive law, how the Orange County Ambulance Ordinance is interpreted, and to some concerns over cleaning standards that may be unparalleled in our industry that might be difficult for us to comply with. Thank you very much for allowing us to provide our thoughts.
Thank you. I do have one question. Is it as far as is the Ambulance Association concerned about the policy or the enforcement component?
The enforcement component is the largest concern. Of course, we have absolutely no concerns about operating clean ambulances or having people that have proper licensure and that have gone through proper background checks, et cetera, but it's how the ordinances are interpreted and how they are enforced. So perhaps maybe that's when we need to go back and look at how the policies themselves are structured.
Could you be more specific, please?
With regard to the ordinances, with regard to the policies, our difficulties are in how they are interpreted in the field, particularly with regard to standards of, say, cleanliness, as to whether or not they're very objective. It's hard for us to determine what is the standard. Is it a sterile environment? Is it clean and visibly clean? And that's where it's open to interpretation.
Through the chair, I'd like a question.
Yes,
Chad, do you believe that with some collaborative efforts through the committee that we may come to some language that would be meet the marks of the agency as well as meet the concerns of the industry, and through that collaborative work we might be able to bring something back by spending more time in committee?
And that's why I've asked that it be sent back to Transportation Advisory Subcommittee. I think that, you know, the industry wants to work with the agency. We want to iron out our differences and come up with policies and procedures that are the best for the EMS system and for the participants in the system.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, at some point I'd like to make a motion that reflects that. So I don't know if you want to have more comment with the committee first, but I intend to make that motion.
A motion to what? Say again.
I'd like to make a motion that we refer policies 720.30, 720.50, 720.60, and 720.70 back to the Transportation Advisory Committee to work on language and hearing more concerns of the association to see if we can bring something back that is both supportive of the committee and the Ambulance Association. Further, I'd like to move the balance of 310.10 and 330.70 for approval by this committee.
I'll second.
Okay, we've got a second. We've got a motion and a second. Is there some discussion?
Yes. So we're going to go off agenda to 7B. Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah, originally what I'd like to do here is if we can, and maybe County Council can tell, is we have public comment. After public comment, we can go straight to that. We'll remake your motion, if that's all right.
Sure, if we just keep it on the record, I'll restate
it. I just want to keep all the public comment first, and then we'll go through the agenda, and we can make your motion again.
Absolutely.
And then we'll have discussion on that, if that's all right with committee. Uh-huh. County Council agrees? Okay. Thank you. And we're going to just go through the order here on the agenda. So we do have an appointment of EMCC slate of officers for calendar year 2016, because I am one of those two. I'd like Dr. Stratton to take over.
Yeah, per the EMCC bylaws, the medical director is charged with coordinating the committee. The nominating committee, consisting of Mr. Karras, Mr. Gross, and Dr. Ritter, did meet by a conference call and put forth the nomination of Chief Kanabi for chairman of the committee for the coming term, and Dr. Ritter as the vice chair. And we had no other nominations, so I will open it up to the committee for any other suggestions. And so we would need then a motion to accept the recommendations of the nominating committee, if any. So that.
Second.
And Ms. Gomez, seconded. And again, because the chair is one of the nominees, and well, Dr. Annis, you're vice chair, correct, right now?
Right.
You want to hold the vote?
Okay. We have a second in the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Sorry, Mrs.
Great.
All right, great. Back on the hot seat. So, thank you very much, and we'll go straight to the second item, which we discussed a little bit, but we're going to talk about the EMS policy revisions and public comment. Did you want to remake your motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. I would move at this time that we refer policy number 720.30, 720.50, 720.60, and 720.70 back to the Transportation Advisory Committee for further discussion, and move the balance of 310.10, 330.70, and the new Pediatric Emergency Receiving Center policy for approval by this committee.
Is there a second to that for discussion?
I'll second again.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for discussion. I do have a couple questions, but I'll go ahead and any other committee member have a couple, any questions or?
The EMS agency has a slide presentation.
Okay. My concerns here is, and I articulated at the public comment, is I'm confused at this. Is it the policy? Because I read the policy. It's pretty generic. I've been in business 36 years. It's a pretty generic policy. And it seems like it's the enforcement component, and that's so that there's not somebody, you know, an inspector or something randomly coming up with different ways of doing it. But the policy seems pretty standard, and maybe if the enforcement component is what's at issue here, we could maybe come to a resolution. But I'll let Dr. Stratton speak to that.
So the enforcement component is what generated some of these policies, particularly the cleaning standards. It was a request of the Transportation Advisory Committee and others that the cleaning standards be very specific, and ironically, that now seems to be what is being contested. The EMS agency put forth these policies as policies that, as Chief Kanabi said, are very generic with any EMS system, allowing for definition for licensure of essentially an ambulance in Orange County. And these are the four policies that we currently are discussing at this point in time. I would like to respectfully counter the discussion that this hasn't been vetted. These policies haven't been vetted. If you'll look at this slide, beginning in October, and I'll I can only go right. Beginning in October of last year, these policies were presented to the Transportation Advisory Committee. In November, a system announcement was made and 50-day public comment solicited per policy that is accepted throughout the EMS system in Orange County. So we follow policy and procedures that are used for all policies in addressing these policies and seeking consensus and public comment. In November, the policies went back and were discussed at facilities, the same committee that is being proposed as them going back to again. January it went to transportation, March to facilities. In that facilities committee, these policies were looked at, but primarily the... Oh, that's for me. No. So in March, the policies went back to facilities for review. They went to the County Paramedic Advisory Committee in March. They went out again after all that input for 15-day public comment per county county EMS policy. After that, were then presented again this past Wednesday at transportation at the Transportation Committee. This cleanliness thing is an issue, and to make sure the committee understands the complaint about cleanliness, it's more than a dust particle that we're talking about. Last year, as inspections were being done on ambulances, my concern was that we had a risk to health and safety occurring if we did not continue to inspect ambulances for cleanliness, equipment, as well as having certified and well-trained personnel. So this is one of the, as these inspections are done, pictures are taken to document what's going on. This is the inside of one ambulance that was inspected. And our inspectors, this was contested as not being a contamination or a problem within an ambulance, obviously showing contamination within the inside of the ambulance and still contested. And in fact, one of the cases that brought forth the resistance to these policies. This shows another interior of an ambulance with what appears to be vomit in one of the collection areas. All these ambulance pictures I'm showing right now are ambulances that are in service, ready to pick up another patient, which could be you or me or anyone else. This picture is of a soft restraint covered with contaminant that was ready for service to pick up another patient. This picture is of a backboard with what appeared to be a red sticky substance on it. There was extensive argument about whether this was blood or not, but the issue really was that it's contaminated and an individual may be placed on this board. It was in service. I think it's very important for the committee to know, patients, when they're being picked up by an ambulance, don't have the capability usually to inspect for cleanliness. It's not like getting a taxi where if the taxi smells bad or something like that, you can pass it on and get another one. The patients that are being picked up in these ambulances often are extremely vulnerable, many of them with depressed immune systems and likelihood of more easily being infected or contacting or contracting diseases. This shows a pillow with a blood spot on it, ready to go pick up another patient. The blood spot may be small, but realize this pillowcase hasn't been changed since the last patient, so it's being used for more than one patient. This shows a piece of equipment, an oxygen regulator dial, which is broken and inoperable. Don't even know if there's oxygen in the tank or not. This shows a broken seat belt, so even the staff in the ambulance are not protected unless they're inspected. This shows a suction device or plastic catheter used for suctioning. It's not necessarily contaminated, but it's outdated, and there's been accumulation of debris within and decompensation of the plastic. Realize this would be stuck in someone's mouth and suctioned close to their airway, and the contaminant possibly transferred to the patient. This shows a couple of problems, contaminated inside of an ambulance. And the red box is a sharps container full of needles and other types of similar debris, which is not strapped down, not secured in any way, such that as the ambulance turns abruptly or if it were in an accident, this would go flying. And the patient's head would be looking down at this point from this perspective. This again shows more loose equipment under a, it's actually in a storage bin on the side of an ambulance with the patient who would be on the right side of the picture. The problem with this one is that the latch is not functional, and with turning, abrupt stop, or so let's say an accident, all of this debris, all of this would become debris flying onto a patient and possibly causing further injury or a injury. We have specific devices that we recommend. We do not recommend that old Amazon boxes be used for splints to manage fractures of bones and of the arms and legs. And personnel driving these ambulances often are dealing with individuals who have very contagious diseases. This is a piece of what's called personal protective equipment with a cracked and contaminated lens such that if the individual used it, they'd have to take it off anyway, exposing their eyes possibly to even HIV virus or all these other problems. I think that's enough. There's on and on can go on, but honestly, as EMS medical director, these ambulances have to be clean. We have to assure they're clean, and I think if we do not, as the OCEMS agency, we have failed the citizens and visitors of Orange County. This is simply a health and safety issue, not a bunch of regulation or political manipulation. And with that, I'll shut up. Thank you.
Comments from the committee?
Yes. Doctor, I appreciate the slides and appreciate the information. I've been involved in the industry for more than 30 years. I'm no longer involved, but this is unacceptable and should not be permitted, and I would hope that your inspectors pull these units out of service immediately in that process. My concern is that we don't have, to the best of my knowledge, we don't have a recommendation from the Transportation Committee. This went to facilities and then to transportation. I think the motion was to refer it back to transportation to resolve any language issues before it's approved. My understanding is when the association or the transportation committee met this week, they did not have a quorum, and I don't believe you have a formal recommendation, and I think the intention is to give that an opportunity before a quorum-based group to come back to us with a recommendation on those items, and that was the purpose for my seconding. I think you, as an agency, have the authority and should do the authority to remove these from service until the conditions are improved, whether it's the rust, the contaminants, whatever. We went through thick binders recently to develop providers in specific areas, and there are more ambulance companies in the county than those companies that were awarded first response in those areas. Having served on that committee to review the thick binders and done so with due diligence, if this kind of stuff is on those ambulances, I would encourage that the whole process from the standpoint that was used to approve that company be brought back and looked at, because no evidence was shown with respect to the companies that we authorized, and it was a very arduous process to go through and read all of those binders and come up with a recommendation. My belief is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, since the agencies and the companies shown here are that these are not the frontline companies that were involved. And if they are, then they shouldn't have performance issues reported on our regular sheets to let us know that that's the case, and at some point then we need to pull those companies back in for further consideration. But I believe in the process, and if the Transportation Committee has not made a formal recommendation because they didn't have a quorum from the standpoint of this meeting, and I recognize there's been plenty of other opportunities, I would rather give it back to them for one more effort at it, make sure we have, as the committee, a clean recommendation to move forward. Thank you. Let me,
in reply, I purposely pulled slides that had identifiers in them, so we have not identified a specific company. With respect to the Transportation Committee, they did have a quorum. They had 4 out of 5 members present. The only motion that went before Transportation was to oppose these policies, and the vote was 2 for opposing, 2 abstained, and then 1 was absent. So there was not a majority to oppose the policies at the last Transportation meeting. And that was... There was never a motion made to approve the policies. It was the counter to oppose them. So without a majority, that's why we're moving it up.
Again, I would just rather see it go back to them for one more shot, make sure that we do have a formal recommendation. If it, if we can't get a majority on the thing, then we can take action based accordingly. But I would rather have them have that opportunity, especially since there's some concern, and the motion was to not approve them rather than to approve them. Thank you.
And again, I'm optimistic that with some additional communication of the concerns of the Ambulance Association and through the committee, the ambulance industry as a whole, we can bring you back something that will represent consensus, and that's our goal. The Ambulance Association certainly is not opposing the premise of clean ambulances, and none of our members would promote the types of instances that were presented to this committee today in the presentation. And I do have trust that under the existing policies, the agency was able to take appropriate action in each one of those cases. But we also recognize that these policies could have some enhancements to address the concerns of the inspectors. We recognize that. We just want to have some more dialogue, express our concerns, and have the subcommittee process fully do its job to to bring you a recommendation that makes sense for the system and that all system participants can support. And that's what we're asking of the committee today.
And again, Chairman, in my opinion, this is an overt effort by the Ambulance Association to continue to block these policies. These policies have been discussed at length three times before transportation, and to go a whole year of blocking policies for whatever reason the Ambulance Association wishes, while we have contaminated ambulances, I demonstrated, is, I think, unacceptable, unprofessional, and a risk to health and safety. And with that, I'll end my discussion.
Any other comments by the committee?
I would just ask my fellow committee members to not support this motion. Very concerning, the photos that you showed, Sam, and we need to have some regulatory guidance so that we can deal with this. And I think these policies are well written and address that. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. I had a question. I don't know if you could put the different committees there, and I don't know if Dr. Stratton or somebody can shed light on it. My understanding is three different committees. Facilities, transportation, and paramedic.
CPACs, County Paramedic Advisory Committee,
and then also public comment.
50-day public comment, and then 15-day public comment after revisions from the 50-day public comment.
So, out of all these meetings and public comments and everything, none of these issues came up at all.
These issues came up, and in fact, the one policy that is very prescriptive in the cleaning was a result of the request by the industry, the ambulance industry, to be very specific about what the inspectors could inspect for and what they could not inspect for. So the policies were changed to address these issues. I'll leave it at that.
So when they came out of committee or out of these subcommittees, there was an agreement? How does that work? They recommend something forward, like the facilities committee?
There's discussion, as is being proposed in these committees, and basically more a negotiation. Because a committee would recommend, for example, one recommendation in a letter in here is that ambulances only be cleaned once a week, or that's a suggestion. We're saying they need to be cleaned at least after every patient. Those types of things we don't negotiate on.
Okay. And is there an appeal process in this thing? So let's say if the ambulance company feels that an inspector was overly zealous in his or her inspection, that they could take that to somebody and say, hey, we didn't do anything wrong, it was just dust or something. Is there anything in the policy that there's some recourse for someone?
I would have to double check.
Tammy's nodding there.
Yeah.
There is? And where does that go? Do you know, Tammy?
So there is a due process for when we enforce on a deficiency in the policy, they have a right to appeal, and we can take that to a hearing process. They're appealing to our office, and they have the opportunity to say, state this isn't what it appears to be. That goes to Dr. Stratton as the medical director. He can either uphold the action or reverse it. If he upholds it, the company can appeal again to the agency director.
All right. And you had another comment.
I just would like to clarify, I'm not in the industry and I'm not a member of the association. But I've had experience in the past, and I've had ambulance units that were inspected by the county. And the inspectors, in many cases, have created their own demeanor and their own methodology from the standpoint of how they apply things. I can recall years past where there was a requirement that a suction unit had to withdraw at a certain level, and a bottle of water was presented, and it had to be able to suction the water out within 8 seconds. I understand that, and I'm very cognizant of patient care. I think it's a little unfortunate that the slides were shown don't really give us an indication of what actions were taken and those things cleaned up. That's unacceptable and should never be allowed from the standpoint of residents and patients in Orange County. I'm more involved with the process at this particular point and making sure that we create good policy and we create enforceable policy so that we're not spending another year, 2 years, 3 years trying to fine-tune. If a one-month or one-meeting period is not acceptable, I respect that. I think the process has gone through, but I want to make sure that we have, from my seconding on the vote, that we have properly vetted everything. And I was told that there wasn't a formal recommendation, so thank you.
Dr. Stratton, has there been any appeals to your office regarding any of these inspections or inspectors, and under what conditions?
As it is now, the individual ambulances, each related to the pictures that I showed, were taken out of service by Orange County EMS until they were cleaned and then entered back into service once cleaned and reinspected. We have received appeals multiple times, yes. Occasionally the appeals are upheld, and other times the appeals are waived. It goes both ways.
Okay.
And certainly if an ambulance just has a piece, like grease or something on a running board or something like that, which has been appealed, that's a legitimate appeal, and that type of stuff is stopped.
Okay. Through the chair. Again, I just want to bring it back to what the intent of the motion is. The intent of the motion is to provide opportunity to clarify some sticking points. There were three letters issued by the association's legal counsel challenging a score of individual items throughout these policies. I believe it's in the best interest to work through some of those concerns collaboratively. That's what we're asking. Ultimately, the agency has the authority today to address the public safety concerns without these changes. So let's take the time and do it right. And that's what we're asking, is give the committee an opportunity to sort through some of this and come back to you with, at minimum, at least points where we can agree on the enhancements that the agency is seeking, which would be a little bit better than what we have today in the association's opinion. That's what we're asking. It's time to do that. These policies did go through public comment, and in the first round there were changes. The second comment period was a 15-day period, and again, because of the lack of the ability to cast a motion at the last meeting, there wasn't really a true opportunity for discussion. That's what that committee has charged with. I've served on that committee and participated in that committee since 1989. This is the first time in my recollection that these policies, which have been before the committee at least four times in my tenure, have come to this EMCC committee without support of that committee. And certainly it's the first time in my career that I've seen policies end up with three attorney's letters from the association. There's smoke. Let's get together and work on the issues. We have always been collaborative as an association. When the OCFA in the mid-90s ran into a budget shortfall, the Ambulance Association stepped up and helped with the BLS medical supply pass-through. That wasn't something we had to do. It didn't affect our budgets. We did that. When the OCFA looked at how it could recapture money for the paramedic services, the Ambulance Association, in collaboration with the OCFA and the Orange County EMS Agency, developed the ALS pass-through. We have always been a collaborative partner with the agency and the community, and we're asking to let's continue that tradition and let's work through these issues. I believe we can get there. Thank you.
Any other comments from the committee? And I'm going to have just one final. I reviewed the policies, and like I said, I don't think any of them are out of extraordinary requirements or anything. I don't see any red flags. I guess maybe can you just share with me one thing that you would change? Just one red flag that that concerns you.
Well, they're all intertwined. I would suggest you take a look at the three letters from Hooper and Lundy. That gives you some sense of where we're at. I'd like to get from that point to the point where the agency's at and hit a middle ground, and that's what I'm asking us to do.
Okay. All right. With that being said, no other comments? Okay. We do have a motion and a second on the floor. So I'm going to go ahead and put it to a vote. And I think just because we have so many people here and we're all over the place, if we can go ahead and then get a vote from my left down, and we can do that.
Just to clarify, the motion is to send it back to the Transportation Committee.
Correct. Send it back to the Transportation Committee. Was that?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Just for clarification, sending it back to transportation, I'm still a little unclear as to what transportation is going to bring forward that's going to change the requirements so these issues get corrected.
Point well taken. That was, I think I was trying to get to that earlier, is show me one thing that you know, what's the red flag? Because no disrespect to the attorneys in the room or anything like that, but my mind spins in legalese, and these seem pretty straightforward. So if there's something that, like the appeal process or something, the enforcement, if, you know, have these inspectors have to go through A, B, and C before something's done like that.
Are they asking for a document that is consistent for checking for the contaminants so that everybody's on the same page? Is that what the clarification is needing?
Again, in the short time since the changes were made to the policies and then it came back out, I don't believe that dialogue has fully occurred. And that's what we're asking for. We're asking for some time on the second round to address it. It's very clear that the industry is concerned. And I think, again, if we have a little more time to come together and have a discussion, we can come back with something. That's what we're asking for, and I really don't see the harm in doing that because the agency already has the tools in place to address ambulances today. So, again, these are changes, and we understand that changes are going to occur. We want to be supportive, but we want to address some of the concerns. And because some of them are from a legal nature, I don't know, I can't articulate all of those because I'm not an attorney, but I truly believe that each of the members of the association want to see this move forward, and we want to work with you. We just need a little more time to get there.
If I can, to answer your question, policy 72050 delineates specifically that list of things that you're talking about coming out of recommendations and 50-day comment. There's mention made of the Ambulance Association attorney letters. The committee also has referred to our county council reply to those letters.
And I guess to the committee members' concern there is maybe it's the same concern with me. It's been almost a year. Would this time, additional time, actually come to fruition, producing a document? Especially the way it is written here, it's pretty straightforward, but anyway. Okay, any other comments? Oh, no.
No.
Any other comments from committee? Okay. At this time, we'll go ahead and take a vote.
No.
Opposed?
Oppose.
Opposed.
Support.
Opposed.
Oppose.
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 Support.
Opposed.
Okay, it looks like the motion fails, then sending it back to committee. So at this point, we have a policy that the motion fails. So now do we have to motion approve the current policy? Do we have a motion for that?
Make a motion to approve the policy as written.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any comments for discussion? My comment would only be that with the approval that there still is the ability to meet with Dr. Stratton on making sure the appeal process and the inspector considerations taken care of, so we don't have any of the rogue inspectors or things of that nature, and we look to the spirit of the law as opposed to the letter of the laws regarding dust and stuff like that. Obviously, this stuff here is egregious, but some of the minor infractions that we look at that, so that's not what the intent of this is. So,
Dr. And we accept that.
Okay, so it looks like we've got a motion and a second. Let's go ahead and take another vote for the new motion, which is to approve policy. Like, we have to have an inspector for the microphone.
Approve.
Approve.
All oppose.
Approve.
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 Oppose.
Approve.
Okay, it looks like the motion carries, and so the policies as written are approved.
I make one more observation. Dr. Stratton, you mentioned that the county council has responded to all of these letters. In my packet, I don't see that response.
If it's not in the packet, we will make sure the committee members receive it and that it's posted before the end of the day.
As an elected official, when you make a decision on something, it helps to have both sides in the packet at the time it's being considered. So we don't have a complete picture at this particular point, and I would like to see how the county council responded to that. So if you want to forward that to me, that would be great.
No problem.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, at this time we will then, where are we here? And be, okay. At this time, that concludes item number 7. And we are going on to item number 8, and this will be a public hearing. I will let Dr. Stratton speak to that and set some guidelines.
So with the committee's support, I'll go ahead and coordinate the hearing. Hearing will be, first I'll present a slide set of some of the data that we have from OSHPD and the OCFA response data, things like that, to set the hearing so that those that are in attendance are aware of some of the statistics regarding San Clemente Hospital, if I can use that nomenclature for the hospital. The slide sets to introduce also the responsibilities of the county, specifically Orange County EMS, with regard to the hearing closure and also the responsibility of the State of California Public Health Department, CDPH, with regard to licensure of San Clemente Hospital. We ask that if anyone has any comments, that those cards be now brought forward. If there are no other comments other than the cards we have, once the short slide presentation is completed, the first group that we'll ask to speak will be those that are representing groups. as opposed to individuals. And those that are representing groups, we've agreed to give 6 to 7 minutes for their presentation. And the time limit is to allow for individuals to speak. We lose the room at noon, so we want to make sure that as many or all people that wish to speak can speak regarding the issue. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and start. I think, is that projecting? And that's the right slide set. Okay. So just to give everyone an idea of the structure and the legal basis for this hearing, the Health and Safety Code requires that when an acute care hospital with an emergency department closes, that essentially the State Department of Health, California Department of Public Health, which licenses hospitals in the state, receive an impact evaluation, which is conducted by the local county emergency services office responsible for emergency responses in Orange County. That's Orange County EMS. The impact report, and what we're specifically aimed at today, must include a public hearing, must include an assessment of community access to emergency care, and must include a assessment or an impact analysis of how the closure will affect emergency services in the community as a whole. And the community as a whole is defined in different ways or not really defined. Obviously, South County and the city of San Clemente is a community most affected. Orange County itself also is a community affected. On March 2nd of this year, Orange County EMS received and the healthcare agency received a formal announcement from the Memorial Care system stating that by May 31st, their intent was to cease operation with acute care services and emergency services at their San Clemente campus, San Clemente Hospital. The overview of this with regard to the county in 2015, again, statistics, I'm trying to read off a teleprompter. And there in Orange County, so this is county data, there were just over 900,000 emergency department visits countywide. There were 185,500 911 responses, 911 calls. Within the county, there are 25 hospitals with emergency rooms, or what we call emergency receiving centers. We have specialty centers, and they're delineated on the slide. 590 licensed emergency department beds are available in Orange County, and 8,000 licensed hospital beds. Orange County, as opposed to more urban areas like Los Angeles and San Francisco, has a spread of hospitals, as illustrated by this map showing the hospital dispersion through the county. We do recognize that San Clemente specifically and the surrounding communities are isolated in South County. And at this point, it's probably important for me to say that loss of any services, emergency or acute care in the county, are a concern for all of us in the county. We would prefer not to have any closures if at all possible. Specific to San Clemente is located again in southwest Orange County. It's bordered by Dana Point, San Juan Capistrano, and San Diego County. San Clemente Hospital does serve some residents of San Diego County, but the 2014 population estimates for Dana Point, San Juan Capistrano, and San Clemente are listed on the slide. with a total population for that South County area surrounding the catchment area for San Clemente of over 135,700. And we also are aware, and one of the reasons the state asked the local agencies to do these impact analysis is the local agencies are more aware of their environment. We're aware that South County, beginning tonight, the population balloons because of visitors coming into the area. San Clemente Hospital is a community hospital. We have different types of hospitals, and I'll delineate that in a minute. It is a hospital with basic emergency department services. And really, 24 of our hospitals come under the basic ED services category, with only UCI as a comprehensive emergency department in Orange County. So San Clemente is one of our primary community hospitals with 10 emergency department beds, 73 inpatient beds. One problem for San Clemente has been, for the hospital, has been that the inpatient census is on an average 6 patients out of the 73 beds. I was trying to be really cool, and I'm not doing a good job, am I? The top of this slide is what I was reading off of my my printout. There in San Clemente, this is actually pretty important. There are 14,214 emergency department visits a year. That was in 2015. San Clemente received over 2,500 911 patients in 2014. Over 1,000 of those were ALS runs. Those are the high-level cases that the paramedics see in the field and continued treatment or observation and evaluation during transport. Getting back to what basic medical services means, it means that there's a physician on duty 24/7. In Orange County, we require that any emergency receiving center have a board-certified emergency physician on duty. So these are board-certified qualified emergency physicians. There are a number of criteria that an emergency receiving center must meet. For example, they must be able to handle pediatric patients. They must be able to have a blood bank available and a number of other things to manage the majority of emergency cases that do occur in, and come into an emergency department. San Clemente, on the other hand, is not one of our specialty centers. These are higher-level hospitals that San Clemente would transport or transfer their patients to if they had, for example, a trauma patient come in. That's someone with severe injuries, for example, internal bleeding from an auto accident. They would transfer out after stabilizing a stroke or heart attack victim or a woman who is pregnant with either imminent delivery or obstetrical problems. We do require, though, just to be more specific, that every emergency department of the 25 in the county have the capability to deliver a baby if necessary. In 2015, of the 2,500 calls that were 911 that went to San Clemente Hospital, 1,800 of those went to that hospital, a little over 1,800, because that was the closest facility to the patient for whom the 911 system was responding. There's other data here. We keep track of data. Families can request to go to a hospital, even if they're not in that area, if their physician prefers or they prefer to go there. Just to compare San Clemente Hospital to surrounding hospitals, you can see the 911 calls transported to San Clemente Hospital at the top and in red on this slide. Mission Laguna in Laguna Beach received a similar number of patients and has 12 beds as opposed to the 10 in San Clemente Hospital. Mission Viejo, which would be the primary secondary hospital to San Clemente, had 1,200 over 1,200 patients transported to them. These are just 911 calls. And Laguna Hills Saddleback had 7,300, basically 7,400 patients transported to them. At the bottom of the slide, for comparison, it shows you the county volumes of over 900,000 countywide, with 185,000 of those being 911 calls, which would correlate to that right-hand column that I'm referring to as I go through this. So this is some of the basic data that we're discussing or looking at and reviewing as we develop our impact analysis. Again, our impact analysis is based on input from this public hearing. Also, we have received a number of letters, I think over, how many? 28 letters, a number of emails and public comments. All of these will be included in the public hearing part of the health impact analysis, if you will. And at this time, we would like to have five. Do you have five ready to go? We have five people. We're going to ask that they line up. After the fourth, when the fourth speaker begins to talk, we'll ask, right before they start to talk, we'll ask that five more people line up. And this is in the interest of allowing for time for everyone to make comments that would wish to.
Dr. Stratton, could I ask what the responsibility of the committee is? Are we making a formal recommendation, and if so, to who? Do we have the authority to deny their request to close?
Thank you, Mr. Gross. Excellent question, and I should have addressed that. The committee, this hearing is held before this committee because this is our equivalent of the of a commission for Orange County's EMS services. The committee itself is here to take input, ask any questions that they wish, but the committee has no responsibility. Health and Safety Code actually hands the responsibility to the healthcare agency. So the committee can make ask questions and make suggestions and recommendations for the healthcare agencies, OCEMS, to input into the analysis that goes to CDPH. So the committee itself does not, in fact, it could make a motion, but doesn't have anything other than to interact with the hearing.
And Dr. Stratton, also, just a point, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're also advisory to the Board of Supervisors, but in this case, the Board of Supervisors isn't the decision-making process. This is the way that the public can bring input. The input goes to this committee and to you, LEMSA, and then the LEMSA completes their report and sends it to the state. That's the process. So even the board is not in the process.
That's correct. That's based on Health and Safety Code. Obviously, we're very sensitive to the board, and if the board of supervisors were to ask us, we would respond to whatever request they had.
Okay. Lori Donchak, Bob Baker, Kathy Ward. Is Kim Quaddy still here? Okay. Jim Smith and Richard Metcalf.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Lori Donchak. I'm the chairman of the Orange County Transportation Authority. I also live in San Clemente and am one of the OCTA district representatives for the 10 cities in South Orange County. I speak today in this regional transportation capacity. Simply stated, community access to emergency care, as your slide just showed, is of paramount concern when looking at the potential impacts of this hospital closure. While indeed Mission Hospital is within 15 miles of San Clemente, getting there can be both difficult and time-consuming, as anyone who travels the 5 freeway in South Orange County knows. Freeway conditions can be unpredictable and slow, and when you factor in emergency transport of patients from San Clemente or neighboring cities, the congested corridor grows in my concern. Because South Orange County has a unique road system, freeway conditions need to be considered carefully when completing your recommendation for the impact evaluation report. Consider the fact that ambulance transport from San Clemente to Mission Hospital can exceed 30 minutes, and that does not include the response time to get to the patient, nor extenuating circumstances such as seasonal traffic or construction. 30 minutes is a lifetime when emergency care is involved. Current I-5 freeway construction affects travelers along approximately a 10-mile stretch of the freeway between San Clemente and Mission Viejo, affecting the cities of San Juan Capistrano, Dana Point, and San Clemente. This important lane widening project will not be complete for 2 years, December 2018. Projects like this can require overnight lane closures, occasional full closures for traffic lane shifts. Even in the best conditions, traffic flow is not predictable. For transportation reasons alone, a recommendation to postpone the closure of the hospital emergency room until construction is complete in December 2018 and freeway access is optimized is an appropriate and preferable option. Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Kathy Ward. I am Mayor Pro Tem for the City of San Clemente. On behalf of the residents of the City of San Clemente, I ask that you delay the closure of the hospital and that you compel Memorial Care to negotiate in good faith with the many potential purchasers of the hospital site. This hospital ER's location is geographically isolated by a large military base, Camp Pendleton, to the south, the Pacific Ocean to the west, and the mountains to the east. There is only one route north on Interstate 5 to another hospital that is over 15 miles and more than 40 minutes away. This same route is under construction for the next over 2 years with significant road siding that is blocked for emergency use. The Orange County Fire Authority, the EMS provider for our area, has estimated the closure of this emergency room will double transport times to the next closest ER and cost the City of San Clemente $1.2 million per year. Increased time to care and overcrowding causes increased mortality in the surrounding hospital ERs. For example, the nearest ER is also the only level one trauma center in the region and frequently is on diversion due to overcrowding. Closure will impact over 200,000 elderly and uninsured, the same people identified as the key recipients in Memorial Care's most recent public benefit statement. This ER sees over 15,000 patients, and the hospital admits 1,700 patients annually. It is the second busiest hospital in the region behind the next closest ER hospital. The other neighboring cities serviced by Saddleback San Clemente Hospital have voted to oppose closure. That would be the cities of Dana Point, Mission Viejo, and San Juan Capistrano. Over 11,000 local people have signed petitions against closing this hospital. Memorial Care is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation that reportedly makes over $300 million annually, and their net assets exceed $3 billion. Having put forth all these facts, what we ask is that you delay the closure and that you compel Memorial Care to negotiate in good faith with the many potential purchasers of the hospital site. Thank you.
Good morning, committee members. My name is Tim Brown. I'm a councilman for the City of San Clemente.
Just a minute. Can you reset the light, please?
Good morning. I'm privileged to be here this morning. I'm proud to represent San Clemente, as is the rest of the council. The one councilman who is unable to be here today happens to be a firefighter and is currently serving our city in that capacity. But this is an important issue. Memorial Care has chosen to close Saddleback Memorial Care Hospital and has rejected the request of the City of San Clemente to extend the closure date and refused even to consider numerous offers to purchase a hospital. Instead, it has chosen to sue the City of San Clemente because the city wanted to ensure that the current hospital property is zoned only for its essential hospital purposes. Memorial Care as a not-for-profit entity is required by law to provide public benefit. Instead, they chose to file a punitive, frivolous lawsuit which seeks to prohibit the resolution of our vital community needs. While the city devoted staff and financial resources and ongoing presence to support the legislation in the Assembly Bill 911 through Breaux and Senate Bill 787 through Bates, it proved to be futile and the legislation did not pass. In its commitment to protecting the citizens, the city also prepared a rezone and a general plan amendment to ensure that the current hospital property is zoned only for its essential hospital purposes, and it was designated, for which it was designated when they purchased the property in 2007. Additionally, our staff has been directed to seek and entertain potential suitors that will be interested in coming to San Clemente to provide hospital emergency department services. To date, the city has received a number of interested parties, only to learn that Memorial Care has been non-responsive to their interest. The city will continue to be vigilant protecting its citizens and surrounding communities, ensuring that they receive critical medical care that they deserve and expect. Memorial Care is a non-for-profit entity. Unfortunately, in their lawsuit, they're acting like a for-profit entity, suing us for $42.5 million in damages, on which we were personally named the council. Memorial Care continues to show their selfish intent and disregard for the well-being of the public. I will say, initially when this issue came up, I was reticent to get involved. But as I learned more, it became more compelling. I ask that this committee not follow my lead, but be strenuous in your communication to all the related entities from the onset and make sure that they understand exactly how serious this is. Thank you.
Good morning. My name's Bob Baker. I'm currently the mayor of San Clemente. We've all come today, four of the five council members, and as Tim said, the fifth council member is on duty out there saving people's lives, which is what he does for a living as an Orange County firefighter. We're asking you to do whatever you can to postpone this closure so that Memorial Care will have some time to sell the hospital to many interested parties that have some interesting ideas on how to make this hospital work. I'll give you a little update of my perspective and the chronology of how this happened. You're all healthcare professionals. You've been in this business your whole lives. I was a Navy pilot for 7 years. I was an airline pilot for 30 years. I'm not a healthcare professional. So when this was presented to me a couple of years ago, oh, we're going to have an outpatient surgery center and an urgent care facility. My initial reaction was, I don't know, maybe that's the changing face of healthcare. Well, what you found out later is that that also entailed closing down the emergency room so that 911 patients now don't go to San Clemente. They go further up the road to Mission. And as you all know, the studies show that if you're having a heart attack or stroke or giving birth, you're better off going to a facility like Mission that's equipped for heart attacks, strokes, and obstetrics. Studies have shown those are best practices, and that's the best patient outcome. Well, however, if you're not breathing, you better get to the nearest emergency room right away. And that's what San Clemente is today. You all know that studies show that mortality rates go up by between 5 and 15% when a closure like this San Clemente closure happens. Those are big numbers, and any hospital administrator worth of salt would jump through flaming hoops, I'm sure you'll agree with me, to decrease mortality rates by between 5 and 15%. However, they're okay with increasing them. We're asking that you do whatever you can to delay this closure, whatever you can to delay this closure so that Memorial Care can sell it to many of the other. So there's a lot of people interested in buying and operating this hospital. Thank you very much.
Jim Smith.
Do you want to call the next five?
I will. Richard Metcalf, Heidi Aquay
Asane?
You need to use your mic.
Dr. Steve? Okay. Richard Metcalf, Heidi Akwe Asane, Dr. Stephen Cullen, Amber Nielsen?
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, the rest of the committee. My name is Jim Smith. I'm a resident of San Clemente, and I'm president of Bella Vista Homeowners Association. Closing San Clemente Hospital will have a highly negative impact on our community. You saw some statistics before. It had to do with 14,000 people going in and out of that hospital in terms of its emergency facility. And if you break that down by the month, that's about 1,350 people a month. Well, those are statistics, and those numbers equate to real people, and I'm one of them. My wife had a very serious infection recently, and she was taking antibiotics, and suddenly the infection began to move very, very close to her eye. The ophthalmologist said the orally taken antibiotics are not working properly. You need an intravenous. The only place to get the intravenous was at San Clemente Hospital. Okay, we went there two consecutive days, received the intravenous, and she made a terrific recovery. The staff was fantastic, and that's a huge loss for the community if that hospital were to close. So that's why I would hope that you would recommend and understand the extremely negative impact that closing would have on our community. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Good morning. My name is Richard Metcalf. I'm also a 13-year resident of San Clemente. I'm a retired senior Army officer and also a retired senior corporate exec in medical devices. Let me give you an example that happened in our family just about 2 years ago now. My sister-in-law was staying with us. Middle of the night, like midnight, she starts screaming in pain. Didn't know, but it was in the head. I threw in my car, took her over to San Clemente Hospital. One of the orderlies met us, parked right in front, took her right in. And one of the doctors came out to me and said, I'm glad you got her here when you did. She didn't have 5 minutes. So they were able to stabilize her at that point for further treatment on up the chain. So that's the kind of service that we have in San Clemente and a real life that was saved that particular night. Let me give you a scenario. Memorial Care bought San Clemente Hospital a few years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago. These guys are strategic planners. They look at it. That hospital had all those empty beds when they bought it. You can't convince me that they didn't have in their minds, you know, we can blade this single-level hospital with 73 empty beds, and we can put up a 3- or 4-story medical office building that gets leased full-time, and that's going to be far more profitable for us. And we're just inside the 14.2-mile limit, so they can let them go to Mission. Now, I have no data to support that, but as a senior corporate exec, I've seen the kind of strategic thinking that people exhibit, particularly when their pocketbooks are involved. This is a classic case for American greed. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Heidi Akwasari, and I'm a registered nurse over at Saddleback Memorial Medical Center. I have been a nurse there for over 9 years, and in those years, I have seen many, many lives being saved. I've been part of it, and I have seen them. Some of these are, I remember this 17-year-old boy that was brought in a few years ago. He was delirious. His white count was 42,000. His vital signs were off the chart. He had a massive staph infection in his leg from a little scratch from an ingrown hair. And he, you know, he had told his parents, you know, I have pain. He's a sports person. They just brushed it off until it was too late. Came to the ER, was rushed to the OR, had emergency surgery, stayed for a week in the ICU, came to the floor, stayed there for 3 weeks, and was able to walk out on crutches. We not only saved his leg, but his life. Recently, we had a patient who was brought in, and I've had this patient several times. The specialist that we need for him was not on the premises. I asked the wife, why did you bring him here, knowing that we don't have the specialist? He's like, because I thought he was going to die. He had a high temperature, and he was shaking all over. I didn't know what to do. I had to bring him into the closest hospital. We were able to stabilize him. He was intubated in our hospital. It took 5 hours for transport to take him over to Laguna Hills. But his life was saved. A man in his early 40s last year came into the hospital, chest pain, did all of these testing, and we showed, finally the doctor said, okay, let's do a CTA of the chest. It showed he had aortic aneurysm and aortic dissection. They're like, oh my God, this guy is a goner. They made arrangements with another hospital. They got a chopper in to go and fly him out. They intubated him, stabilized him. He got into the OR over at the next place. The guy is walking around today. He had 4 chest tubes at that time, and he was done. There are multiple ODs, multiple drownings that are brought into San Clemente who are alive today, most of them because of the immediate emergency care that Memorial Care has provided over at San Clemente. Thank you.
Good morning. My name's Amber Nielsen. I'm a 9.5-year employee of Saddleback Memorial San Clemente. And I want to read a letter from Dr. Cameron Hamidi, who is an infectious disease specialist. He couldn't be here today, but he asked us to read this on his behalf. I wanted you to have a few of these sentences of support in case I won't make it. As you recall, I started at San Clemente in June 2010 while actively rounding at Cedars-Sinai and other hospitals in Los Angeles. I am currently active at Mission, Hogue, and Saddleback, and still privileged at Cedars, but covering only very rarely. I was pleasantly surprised at that time at the quality of care provided here, with almost everything available to providers. The variety of patient population did also surprise me then. I did not feel the hospital was lacking any services, and this continued until the administration decided to remove services from the campus in order to present it as a deficient hospital. Procedures were cut back, imaging became limited. With the need to transfer to Laguna Hills, experienced registered nurses were encouraged to leave for Saddleback Laguna Hills, and the campaign of the hospital is a financial loss started. For years, I recall the hospital being full with no available beds and the need for 2 full-time hospitalists for rounding and covering the campus. The satisfaction surveys over and over showed a much better review of this campus compared to Saddleback Laguna Hills. Even the rate of hospital-acquired infections were lower than the other campus. Some of the patients even preferred to be here instead of up in Laguna Hills as treated and cared for better. I personally experienced numerous times as an infectious disease doctor directly involved in the care of patients admitted here, how important this hospital was for this community, and how many lives were saved every day. Surgical procedures were more organized with less waiting time and in a more efficient fashion. Can I finish? The light's blinking.
Oh, when it goes solid, that's when the 3 minutes is up.
Okay. The closing of this campus is a shame for the administration, which instead of trying to improve what we had and offer services not available in the other campus, i.e. rehab, beds, or infusion center, decided to eliminate the hospital for absurd reasons. The population surrounding here is growing. No other facility is available until you drive very far further south, and driving up north is not an easy task with traffic.
How can a community agree to the closure of such an important asset, providing daily emergency and non-emergency services for its citizens? It's like closing a school or a fire department. I can't even imagine if a major disaster occurs in this area, earthquakes or others, and how many lives will be lost. I know you and many others are already sharing these impressions with me. I wish the administration would recognize this mistake and perhaps reconsider its decision. If not, I wish the new owner of this place, with judicious restructuring of the hospital, provides in a very near future outstanding care to this community, proving memorial care of their monumental mistake. Sincerely, Cameron Hamidi, Infectious Disease. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to call the next five speakers, and the individual who needs translation, can they please come forward? Okay, the names are Debbie Boca, Kathy Boca, Carolyn Keene, R. Anderson, and Lourdes Garcia.
And just to reiterate, you go when it flashes, you continue to speak until it goes solid, right?
Or
thank you.
Or we tell you. Eileen will tell you.
When you have 1 minute left, the yellow light will go on, and then from the timer, the red light will go on.
Just a question, Mr. Chairman. I represent Save Saddleback San Clemente Hospital. We had a 20 PowerPoint slide presentation prepared, but didn't think there would be time allotted, so Dr. Gialamas and I split it up. Excuse me. If between the two of us, if we can be allotted that 7 minutes to speak, that would be great. I did send the PowerPoint presentation just so that it's part of the official record.
Yeah, that's great. You're speaking for a group, so that's fine.
Thank you. Mike, Dr. Stratton, Mr. Chairman, I'll start off by saying that thank you. Dr. Stratton, I'll start off by saying that average census of 6 is incorrect. It may be correct this month because the ICU is closed and because Memorial Care has chosen to flat-out transfer any neurology patients, any urology patients, any ICU patients. There's been a steady 2-year campaign to drop the census on purpose, and that's why we have the census that we have today. We can't cover that topic in 4 minutes, but certainly if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Your study mentions that admissions diversion rates were 4.3% for 13, 9% for 2014, and 7.8% for 2015. But in your report this month, Mission hit a staggering 20% diversion for the month of February. So those numbers are only going to go up. Dr. Renee Shea from UCSF released a study just last month that looked at diversion and mortality rates, and mortality goes up. For cardiac patients whose nearest hospital, nearest ER, experienced high diversion rates, mortality went up. For those patients, if a hospital was on diversion for 12 hours, the incidence of revascularization went down 4.6%, and one-year mortality went up 9.8%. In your study, you guys mention transport times from San Clemente, from a typical San Clemente residence to San Clemente Hospital and to Mission Hospital, and you are accurate in reflecting that the transport time to Mission is twice as long. But please understand that those numbers released by Orange County Fire Authority were averages for 2013 and 2014, and that was before the construction began. And to get to a typical San Clemente residence to San Clemente Hospital requires little or no freeway travel. But to get to Mission Hospital, obviously it does. It is our only access point north. There are no side streets that will take you there. So it's not just twice as long. It's three times as long or longer. The 911 calls. In your report, you mentioned that there were 35 patients in 2014 and 38 patients in 2015 that required 911 transfer. But you have to understand that most of the critical care transport is done by private ambulance. If a patient leaves San Clemente Emergency Room for a cardiac cath to go to Laguna Hills, that's in a private ambulance. If an intubated patient is transferred from our emergency room to Laguna Hills ICU, that's in a private ambulance. Most seniors are perfectly comfortable driving themselves or their loved ones to San Clemente Hospital, but they will not drive the freeway. So all of our seniors that are quote-unquote walk-ins will now be 911 calls. And also understand that most critical patients that arrive at San Clemente Hospital stay there. You guys say that we're not cardiac receiving, but in truth, we're only not MI receiving. Somebody has heart failure or AFib RVR or SVT or syncope or heart block or they need a pacemaker, those patients stay. And you say that we're not neuro receiving, but we're only not stroke receiving. If somebody has a TIA or a seizure or they're comatose, those patients stay at San Clemente. And you say that we're not psych receiving, but most of those patients are overdoses, and we take care of those patients. We intubate them, we care for them for 2 to 5 days, and when they're stable, they go on to a psych facility. I just want to point out the map that you guys have in your report. I blew it up. So in the shaded area, the bottom half of Orange County, there are 6 hospitals there. You're going to close San Clemente, or it may be closed. I apologize. You guys aren't going to do it. Mission Laguna has an ICU by name only. Their ICU is closed. If they have an ICU patient, they transfer it. And one of the hospitals in blue is Kaiser, which is not open to the public. So now you're talking about 3 hospitals, 3 ICUs serving this shaded area of Orange County with 27 other hospitals serving the rest. I know that you guys don't have the authority to tell Memorial not to close, but you do have the ability to write in your report what the consequences of closure will be. And you have to understand that, number one, I don't think you have all the information to accurately ascertain what all the consequences will be. Number two, at a minimum, you have to admit that they're going to be substantial. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman and the committee. I'm a resident of Capo Beach, and I know I did sociology at UCI, so I know what demographics and numbers look like on paper, but as one of the people who has had to use the hospital before, I can tell you that having to have gone up to Mission in rush hour traffic, which is when I broke my elbow, would have been very, very painful, if not difficult. No, it would not have been life-threatening, but I know several other people that had it been life-threatening may not have made it. So another thing I haven't heard anybody bring up is that they are building an additional 14,000 houses out in San Juan Capistrano that should be taken into consideration. They are also blowing a road through La Plata, so those people could be serviced by the San Clemente Hospital. It will also overload Mission even further, which I have heard several stories about it having 4-hour wait times already and people getting diverted over to Laguna, then back over to Mission with very, very serious infections. So I just wanted to come and show my support for keeping the hospital open. Thank you very much for your time.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for giving us this opportunity to present our case to you for keeping our wonderful community hospital open. My name is Carol Keene, and I'm a resident of San Juan Capistrano, and I'm also a senior citizen. So this affects my husband and myself greatly. I wanted to read into the record a letter sent today by Dr. Alice P. Moran, DMD, who is not able to be present today. And it says, to whom it may concern, I am a local periodontist who has been in private practice in San Clemente for the past 14 years, following 20-plus years in the U.S. Navy. San Clemente is a rapidly growing city, and it's a travesty to close down the existing hospital and particularly the emergency room. Many of my patients, as well as family members, have utilized the emergency room and hospital over the years. At the very least, we absolutely need the emergency room to remain open. I completely support 100% all of the efforts to save the emergency room and the hospital. Thank you, Dr. Alice D. Moran. I stand behind everything Alice Moran said as well. I think it is just travesty to have this hospital close. We have no place else to go, especially on the weekends. The traffic on the freeway is completely backed up. If you're from Thursday to Monday, if you're trying to go south, it's impossible. It's bumper to bumper. If you're trying to go north, it all jams up near El Toro Road, and you can't get anywhere. It's just impossible to me to even conceive of the fact of there being, say, some kind of emergency at the San Onofre nuclear power plant, and have us having to evacuate somewhere, to evacuate to a nearby institution. I can't conceive of how that would even happen. I'd probably stay home and let whatever is going to occur rather than trying to get away. So I also wanted to say that I myself was admitted to Saddleback Memorial on March 16th for a total knee replacement. And from the first moment I came in for my pre-op testing to my final wheelchair out the door, I can truly say that my care was first rate. Everyone I interacted with was caring and thorough and had my best outcome at heart. Nursing and floor staff and admitting and OR and recovery, physical therapy, dietary, housekeeping, and volunteers went over and above board to see that I had what I needed when I needed it. Underlying all the wonderful care I received at the hospital was the thought that this beautiful little community hospital is now being forced to close by May 31st. And my thoughts went to all those who worked there. Some have been there all their working lives. I applaud Dr. Joulamis and Dr. Cullen for fighting the good fight to keep this gem of a community hospital open. And I want to publicly thank everyone who took care of me while I was there. By the way, I'm also a retired nurse of 34 years. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Hi, I'm Kathy Boca. I live in Capo Beach. And this last year, I had an occasion to use the hospital facilities twice myself. First time, my blood pressure was shooting up, and I actually called 911. And the fireman asked me, do you want to go here or you want to go up to Mission? But my blood pressure was rising so rapidly, even after they gave me whatever they gave me, I said, well, I'm going to San Clemente. And so they took care of everything. I had good treatment there, good diagnosis, and so that part of my life is on the road to recovery. The other time is I was coming down the stairs. I fell. My shoulder came out of my socket, so I was dangling along. The most pain I've ever had, and I've had three kids, and this was, like, terrible. So my daughter took me over to the hospital because it's closer than the fire department coming to my house and going back. And every time she went over a bump, it was so painful. And I thought, what if I was going to Mission and it took me like another 20 minutes to get up there? It was terrible. So that's my personal reason to want to keep San Clemente Hospital. But, you know, you've already heard there's it's kind of a no-brainer that if you don't have anything till Oceanside and you have to go all the way up to Mission Viejo and you've got this big gap in the middle with possible earthquakes and everything else, I support whatever can be done to keep a hospital and an emergency room in San Clemente. Thank you.
Okay, Renee Taylor, Jose Duque, Warren Vidrine, Dolores Padgett, and Lyle Giacomas. Oh, wait a minute.
Sí. Buenos días. Mi nombre es Lourdes García. Tengo 12 años trabajando en el hospital. Soy cocinera. Soy madre y padre de 5 niños.
Good morning. My name is Lourdes Garcia. I work in the dietary department of San Clemente Hospital. I'm a mother and I'm a father for my kids.
Para mí ha sido un placer trabajar en ese hospital y por lo siguiente yo no quisiera que se cerrara.
For me, it has been a pleasure to work at this hospital. Therefore, I would love to make sure that the hospital doesn't close.
Mi superación ha sido muy grande. Ha sido muy difícil mi vida como padre y madre, pero gracias a ese trabajo he podido superar muchísimas cosas. He tenido a mi padre en unas 3 ocasiones. Él tiene 2 embolios y ha tenido una grande recuperación después de que ha estado como paciente en este hospital.
As a human being, I've grown a lot working at the hospital. My father has been a patient a couple of times out of a stroke, and thanks for the care of the hospital. He's doing better.
Muchas gracias por su atención. Que tengan muy buen día.
Thank you very much for your attention. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Robert Anderson. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here. As a member of Doheny Longboard Surfing Association, I'm glad to see your heritage out there. We do have a lot of contests at Old Man, Sano, and other places, as you know. And we are thankful for San Clemente being there. We have taken some children, because we have the Minnehuni contest, which is young kids, taking them there for stitches and whatever. But giving up San Clemente will also limit our surgeons, our potential surgeons and doctors from residency, internship. There's not enough openings around. They can't go anywhere. The mission is on bypass more times than it's open for taking people there. It just takes too long to get there. And the paramedics, they sit there. It's called wall time. I'm sure some of you guys know about that. They stand there and wait because there's nothing to do but wait, okay? That's money coming out of pockets of people. And seeing as, let me say, Saddleback is interested in money, so is the county, so is San Clemente. Another is the loss of MDs. I've already said that. That's about all. Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Warren Vedrine. I'm a resident of San Clemente. I've raised a family there. My two children have both been in the ER at San Clemente Hospital. My wife has also. I've had four visits, and in the last visit, the doctor told me categorically. He said, If they transport you, you will die. And then he reiterated that after my recovery. San Clemente Hospital has served me and my family very well. I've been invisible to you. None of those many visits was done with EMT. I live in the area. It is when something happens, it happens quickly. People don't actually know how serious it is, so they go. And in some cases, it's not only life-threatening, but it was a matter of life and death. Why go, you know, there's a lot of reasons not to go farther. The freeway's been talked about. Mission is slammed. People who tried or been brought to Mission don't end up there. They go by. They go by and wander around Orange County. This is a matter of public harm if this hospital closes. It is something of that should not be countenanced, and especially it should not be countenanced if by a public benefit corporation. We're talking public harm here, and we're talking, what's that? Yes. It's still blinking.
That's mean.
Okay. I didn't understand that. Oh, okay. So this is one resident's opinion. It's an educated opinion. I've worked in hospitals. My graduate degrees are in brain biochemistry and analytical chemistry. My family donated land for a hospital in my hometown. So I've been involved in the construction of a hospital and its operation, at least tangentially. What's happened is not what should happen. It's there. I commend the city council. They have been trying to do a win-win. They've succeeded in the sense that, yes, there are suitors to buy the hospital. But the hospital has decided not to do win-win. They've decided to try to double down and go way beyond what a moral corporation should do, much less a public benefit corporation. So to the extent that you can do, please recognize the harm here. Please try to address it. The last time I talked to the administrator at the hospital, I said, well, you're a public benefit corporation. Why are you doing this? Well, he went and said, the local government can't stop us. I said, you have a contract. I said, yeah. He said, yeah, but it's with the state. We don't have to listen to the local government. That's all I have to say.
Hi, I'm Dolores Paget. I've been a resident of San Clemente since 1987. I'm the president of the Coast Homers Association, which is 575 homes that borders around San Clemente Hospital. I'm also a retired nurse of 46 years who has worked at San Clemente Hospital under every administration that has owned that hospital. I've retired 6 years ago and seen great changes in trying to decrease the services at San Clemente Hospital. One of your numbers that Dr. Cullen mentioned was the 6 inpatients. Well, since the hospital has been up to be closed, most of the patients that need to be hospitalized as inpatients are being transferred out of the ER to Saddleback Laguna Hills. Also, that not counted in to that number are patients that come in under observation status. And as you know, with Obamacare and all the insurance reimbursements, it is ideal right now to put a patient in observation. Observation doesn't count as an inpatient, but they do receive all the services. I, for one, am a bad RN because I've driven myself to the hospital with chest pain. I have been admitted, and I have been admitted as observation both time and have stayed there over 24 hours receiving high-level care to determine that I didn't have a heart attack, but I had some other issues going on. My community, when I survey them, they also drive to the hospital with chest pains, with large lacerations, with broken bones because it's convenient and they don't want to call in medical services. My son was saved by San Clemente Hospital, acute lymphoblastic leukemia. The paramedics came at 11 o'clock at night. They couldn't access because he was in septic shock. If it wasn't for San Clemente, he would be dead today. They coordinated with Chalk Hospital, and he had the best of care and remained at San Clemente at the time. Please do not. Lives will be lost. We are a growing community. We have over 600 new homes just coming in off of Frontera. So we can't make it to Mission Hospital. Just getting out of the hills of San Clemente sometimes takes 10 minutes. Because there's bumps in the road and access to care. We do have buyers, and we want to let them have the hospital and bring it up to what we need. Wrap it up. And we tried as SOS to come to a compromise by giving a boutique hospital and giving Saddleback what they wanted for less money, and they didn't want to cooperate with us. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Renee Taylor. I'm a resident of San Juan Capistrano. I'm a military officer, and I'm also the chief operating officer of a local nonprofit. As such, I like metrics, I like analytics, I like facts, I like policy, and I like procedure. But what I like more, no, love more, is my mom. She would not be in this room with me today if it were not for the location of the hospital and the professionalism and quality of its staff. On three separate occasions over a three-month period, my mom suffered from the cardiotoxic impacts of chemotherapy. With a heart rate of over 200 beats per minute, blood pressure of 200 over 100, she needed immediate emergency care and attention, and fast. Each time I drove her to San Clemente Hospital because I could get her there faster than calling an ambulance. From San Juan Capistrano, door to door, 10 minutes. Probably would have been twice that waiting for the ambulance to come to the house. Each time she went to the hospital, she was stabilized expeditiously and admitted. As I said before, I like metrics, I like analytics, I like facts. And the fact and the statistics show that one life was saved three times in 3 months, and the value of that life is priceless. I urge you all to conclude that the closure will create a negative impact. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lyle Jalamas. I'm also a former nurse, still work sometimes, mostly volunteer. Also a pre-hospital care coordinator, so I was very concerned when I heard that the hospital and emergency department were closing. So I'm here today mostly to counter what the impact report says, only because it is a static, non-living document. It comes up to 2015, but as you can hear already, things are changing rapidly. So with the 14,000 homes, if you go by the 2.5 average number of persons per house, that's 35,000 additional people. And each of those homes will have two cars at the least, which adds another 28,000 people to the same already condensed area. So our population density is changing before our very eyes, and we're losing hospitals and emergency departments at the same time. In addition to that, we already know missions on diversion. We already know that during the summer we get more people with VRBO and Airbnb. We have children come in from states and utilize our beaches, but they are not trained in ocean safety as our children are. So they are at a higher risk for drowning, and we will not be able to intubate them as paramedics are not, and they'll be transported with a bag valve mask, which is less secure and less safe in additional traffic. Those are concerns to us. In addition, the Orange County Fire Association in its 2014 report concerning the ability of hospitals and healthcare to surge their capacity for disasters stated that they are fearful of train derailments, fires, quakes, tsunamis. I didn't realize that tsunamis had happened here in Orange County, but apparently they have. And a SONGS emergency. And it's already been established that we are an isolated community with an ocean, with a national forest, and with a marine base with only one way in and out, which is crowded. Saddleback Memorial Medical Center, in its 2013 Community Health Needs Assessment, stated that the challenges to obtaining health care include insufficient services for large numbers of lower income and underinsured. They acknowledge that transportation is a barrier to traveling distances to obtain services. For this reason, ASAP says the Affordable Care Act has influenced the increase in the number of ED patients. So the CDC and the NIH say that the numbers have increased, not decreased, with the establishment of the Affordable Care Act. And patients who had not previously accessed care are more ill and require more services. We've already established the 501c3, where Malcolm is an architectural firm that donated their services, built a facility that will allow us, well, offered to build a facility that will allow us to maintain, our emergency department, our hospital, while building what it is they requested, ambulatory services, a freestanding surgery center, and the medical office spaces that they requested. We would hope that you would help us find a healthcare partner. Thank you.
Mehdi Fard? Leroy Cox? Elaine West? Michael Clark? And Alan Roy?
Muy buenos días, señores.
señoritas. Mi nombre es José Duque. La razón que estoy aquí, yo tengo 5 años trabajando para Sarrybal Memorial.
Good morning. My name is José Duque. I've been working at San Clemente for 5 years.
La cuestión que estoy aquí es por una historia muy, muy grande, porque yo cuido a un señor ya de edad y...
The reason why I'm here is for a very important matter. I take care of this man, this older man.
Y esta persona se tuvo que mover de San Juan Capistrano a San Clemente, a un lado del hospital.
And this person moved from San Juan Capistrano to San Clemente to be close to the hospital.
Para que la atención que tuviera la tuviera muy cerca, si él está delicado de salud.
Since he would start getting ill, he needed to be closer to a hospital for medical attentions.
Aproximadamente ha llegado allí en ese hospital como unos, no tengo más idea, pero unas 10 veces.
He has been in a situation where he has to go to the hospital about roughly 10 times.
Y la última vez que yo estuve con él fue una mañana que yo vivo en Mission Viejo.
I live in Mission Viejo, and one morning he called.
Y me habla, dice, José, quiero que vengas pronto porque me siento muy mal.
José, I need you to come right away. I don't feel well.
Y yo en el transcurso de mi casa, donde él vive aquí en San Clemente, me hice aproximadamente como unos 45 minutos para llegar con él.
It took me roughly 45 minutes from Mission Viejo to get where he was at.
Y él, sí, ya me estaba esperando y pronto yo lo llevé al hospital y rápido me lo atendieron. Y eso fue una buena acción por mi parte, porque ¿qué pasa que si yo no fuera, él hubiera muerto?
We were lucky that we were able to get there on time, but if we wouldn't be able to, the hospital wouldn't have been there, he wouldn't have made it.
Y eso es lo que nosotros queremos, que ese hospital siga adelante y que escuchen nuestra voz, yo como empleado. Y esta persona, él se encuentra aquí. Aquí la traigo, porque yo no lo puedo dejar solo.
So we are here today to make sure that we remain the hospital open. This gentleman is here with us today in the room.
Throat, sorry about that. And then I am 82 years old. I am an immigrant here in this country. And I am completely disabled, movement and activities. And also I live about 1 mile to the reason I got this place because of that closeness to the Memorial Care Hospital. And then I have had open heart surgery, attack, a few strokes, and then very fragile life. And then, so I think that would be this foreclosure would end up my hope in life. And then I really wanted you just to keep it going on, and because otherwise, I don't know how could I survive without this hospital. Thank you.
Muchas gracias, señores.
Good morning. My name is Leroy Cox. I'm a resident of San Clemente for 17 years in the Talega area. I serve on the Enforcement Committee for Talega. I'm also a retired deputy sheriff of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. You've heard the people at this point in time and will follow me speak to the criticality of the position that the hospital is in for their services and their life-threatening needs as they come about. I look to the table of traffic. I sat at the corner of Hermosa and La Pata, which is the corner where Truck 59 is located. They were rolling code 3 to a call the other day. They came out of the intersection and began proceeding down Hermosa towards the freeway. It's a two-lane highway. There were two vehicles that were ahead of them. Those two vehicles never moved out of a piece of emergency equipment rolling code 3, that's red light and siren. We have to take into account, we do the table drafts, we do the general consensus as to what time elements are to a location. They don't always work. I've been there. I've been in a black and white. I've rolled code 3 to assisting police officers needing help in a gunfight. I had a whole row of black and whites behind me, and because of frustration, because people wouldn't get out of my way, I drove up in people's front yards. Yeah, the county wasn't too happy because they had to replace it with all of us driving through it. However, being said, we speak of Saddleback, we speak of Mission. Saddleback added I don't know how many emergency rooms a couple of years ago. They are closed a vast percentage of time because you have the what it was formerly known as Leisure World, now Laguna Woods. You have Mission, which fills up because of the overflow in Saddleback, and consequently, they're closed. You have other hospitals that are extended out further, even into Irvine, that are now becoming closed. And the people up in Laguna Hills aren't getting the service to the immediate hospitals. So you take into our community right here in San Clemente, and what are we going to do? So there's many items that you have to look at. It is just isn't one, but collectively it builds a major block. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Elaine West, and I'm a manager at San Clemente Villas by the Sea, and we sit approximately 250 feet away from Saddleback Memorial Care. So you can imagine, with 170 residents, average age 85, we are getting visits daily from 911 or taking our residents over to the hospital. And our owners, Paul and Aileen Brazeau, sent a letter, and I'm going to read bits and pieces to you. They've opened up 16 years ago on that land so they could be close to the hospital for our seniors. And just want to let you know that most of our residents, who we tried to get some to come today, but they were not able to, are very distressed over the hospital, perhaps closing or will be closing soon. And in the 15 years we have been open, the hospital emergency room has saved over 100 residents. And then as a resident of San Clemente, my own family and friends have used this facility, and many lives have been changed. Thank you.
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning. My name is Mike Clark, and I live in San Clemente. We spent a lot of time on data, and I think the data is very clear that closure of San Clemente ED will create a very bad situation. And with the demographics we've talked about, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. We also talked about the fact that experienced elsewhere clearly demonstrates that once this emergency department closes, people are going to die unnecessarily. I'm a retired healthcare executive, and I've been trying to understand motives, and I'm confused. It's as though Memorial Care senior management got together with their board and said, "What's the worst thing we can do to the residents of San Clemente?" And I said, "Well, let's deny them access to emergency services in San Clemente." I mean, and what's even more baffling is, excuse me, if Memorial Care doesn't have a stomach for this anymore, that's okay. That's their business. But all they have to do is sell the hospital. And I know personally, having spoken with three legitimate buyers that are willing to solve this problem immediately. And, well, again, you talked a little bit about the authority that this committee has. And if your findings can demonstrate the negative impact that this is going to have, not only the immediate negative impact, but the future negative impact, we'd really appreciate you doing that, because this is a problem that we don't need and we don't have to live with. And there are others who are willing to come in as soon as they possibly can and establish a long-term commitment and become our healthcare partner, one said for 40 or 50 years. So thank you.
Jim Dahl, Pete Curran, Louise Herbert, Don Hansen.
Good morning. Thank you for your efforts here in trying to reach a solution, both on behalf of Memorial Care and the citizens of San Clemente. You've heard the phrase road warrior. I'm a hospital warrior. I've had seven inpatient surgeries, two at Sentinella, one at Long Beach Memorial, one at Scripps Green down in La Jolla, and one at Saddleback Laguna Hills, and two at Saddleback San Clemente. I speak to the quality of care in that regard, and San Clemente, our hospital at San Clemente, of which I'm a resident in San Clemente, compares favorably, if not exceeds, some of those other hospitals where I was in care. In addition to that, recently I was a caretaker for my mother-in-law. On February 22nd, I was up in Mission Viejo at her house. She was in late stages of COPD, and we were rotating 24 hours with her. She'd been in the hospital because she had a compression fracture of her back. She was discharged, and we were taking care of her at her home, and I had to call 911. I gave her nebulizer, and she said she was getting dizzy. Anyway, the bottom line is the paramedics came, immediately transported her to Mission. I called my wife. My wife called her sister, the two brothers. We all converged on the emergency room at Mission Hospital under stress, as you can understand. They lost my mother-in-law somewhere in the process. They had no Mary Lynn Cody administered or admitted into the hospital, and for an hour and a half to up to 2 hours, we didn't know where she was at. We tried to find out, because they were impacted, if she'd been transported elsewhere. As it turns out, she had not. She was up in the CICU. But they had admitted her under a different name because it was so impacted that it was trying to herd cats in there in the emergency room. In this report that I read, it said that that the hospitals will be able to absorb and meet the demands of displaced patients, and ambulance transport times will not significantly increase. I'm a data guy too, systems engineer, former airline pilot, Navy pilot. I teach at a university, management information systems, et cetera. I don't know where that data is. I'd love to see how that was derived. But from personal experience, there's no way the ambulance transport times would not be increased if we closed the San Clemente Hospital. Lastly, I was in the emergency room. I was standing, as was my brother-in-law, because it was full of not only supporting family members, but patients. While we were there, they asked people to get up. They brought a homeless guy in. They sat him across three chairs, and he was vomiting blood and other whatever all over the place into a bedpan that was splattering all over the place. When we left, eventually, when we found my mother-in-law, we were escorted up to the CICU. The nurse told us as we were going in, "Now, I want you to stay with me because we have an active MRSA case right now that we're trying to isolate. So please stay with me and don't go anywhere in here." Mission Hospital is impacted. It has been for years. I've been there. I raised five children. They saved my mother, my wife and my infant daughter there. They both would have passed away had not the excellent care been there. But over the last 40 years that I've been in South Orange County as a resident, I've been in the hospital both with myself and my family probably three dozen times. And Mission has always been impacted. San Clemente Saddleback, I passed a kidney stone. They saw me within 20 minutes. They had me on a drip, and the pain went away. I had a severe laceration. I was bleeding all over. And all those visits to San Clemente Saddleback, we never used 911. Thank you for your attention, and I hope your recommendation is that we delay the hospital closing until we can get a remedy here. Thank you.
Excuse me. Good morning, members of the committee. I'm Jim Dahl, 52-year resident of San Clemente, retired fire captain with the Orange County Fire Authority and the San Clemente Fire Department. I came to work for the city of San Clemente in 1969 as a firefighter and started our ambulance program. In those days, we had to transport patients to South Coast and even to Hogue. And then eventually, Mission opened up and our response time shortened up, our driving time for the ambulance shortened up. And then, thank God, San Clemente Hospital opened up. And I was transported the first patient to San Clemente Hospital in the early 70s. There's no question that San Clemente Hospital has been a great asset to the community. It's part of the community. It's part of the fabric of the community. And the closing of this hospital by Memorial Care, who I don't think really cares at this point, they care about the almighty dollar. And I think the patients, the citizens of San Clemente will show tremendous disservice by closing the hospital. So I would urge the committee to give a report to the state showing that the hospital is very well needed in San Clemente. Transport times, paramedic response times, engine company response times will all be affected, and the citizens of San Clemente will lose out in the end. So it's very important that the whole community supports the staying open of San Clemente Hospital. And I think if you would have had this hearing in San Clemente today, you probably would have had 1,500 people show up. So I want to thank everybody for coming today and supporting our hospital. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. As Eileen may remember, I was a paramedic with the city of San Clemente from 1982 to 1994. So I know firsthand what can happen in the minutes it takes to get to a hospital in the back of an ambulance. I know that people can and will die in the extra minutes that it will take to travel from South Orange County to a hospital in Mission Viejo or Laguna Beach or Laguna Hills or beyond. I also know that a narrow margin of 911 ambulance patients, much narrower than has been reported by Memorial Care, meet what is called the specialty receiving center protocol, such as stroke, cardiac, trauma, that require transport to hospitals specially equipped and staffed to handle such patients. However, I would like to point out that according to reports published by Orange County Fire Authority and submitted to public record, that only 18% of San Clemente City's 911 ambulance transports over a two-year period of time in 2013 and 14 were diverted to a specialty care center. That leaves a whopping 82% of ambulance patients in San Clemente that did not meet the bypass criteria and were transported to San Clemente Hospital according to OCFA records. Furthermore, I would like to point out that the most serious and life-threatening medical emergency, a full cardiac arrest with CPR in progress, and I quote now from the Orange County EMS ALS Standing Orders, SOC-10, after treatment, paramedics are to maintain CPR and to transport to the closest emergency receiving center. Who are these other 82% of 911 ambulance patients that were transported in the city of San Clemente to the closest emergency center? According to the Orange County Emergency Medical Care Protocols, ambulance patients routed to the closest emergency room or emergency center include adult and pediatric near drownings, respiratory distress including COPD, asthma, bronchitis, emphysema, adult cardiac arrhythmias, absent MIs including bradycardia and tachycardia, non-traumatic altered level of consciousness including diabetics, non-traumatic abdominal pain, non-traumatic shock including hypotension, allergic reactions and anaphylaxis, substance abuse, poisoning, seizures, convulsions, isolated extremity fractures, minor burns, lacerations, snake envenomations, thermal emergencies, and behavioral emergencies, all per Orange County protocol to receive to the closest emergency receiving center, all of which will now be transported to hospitals averaging 15 to 30 minutes away on crowded freeways or the Pacific Coast Highway. This will greatly impact EMS providers throughout the region, to say nothing of the obvious negative impact to the quality of life in South Orange County. So I would thank the committee to do whatever you can to try to report and delay the closure of San Clemente Hospital. Thank you for your time.
Good afternoon, committee members. My name is Louise Herbert, and I'm a citizen for 34 years of San Clemente. I do believe that I've been personally involved in the color changes of the hospital due to the financial contributions I've made there in 34 years. Within less than a year of living there, I made two appointments in the ER room, and which were both life-threatening. My husband had a burst appendix, and had we had to go to Mission, he would have died. We do live on the south end of town. I'm less than 2 miles from Camp Pendleton's border, and our town is spread out through the hills. So your statistics are basically built from the San Clemente Hospital itself to Mission Hospital. It does not take into effect the way our city is laid out by a drunk on a tractor and difficulty getting from point A to the freeway. Sorry. But the thing is that our year statistics, as so many people have mentioned, are based upon non-personal events. I spent 3 visits to the hospital in a 28-day period in 2014 for abdominal problems with diverticulitis. My doctor, Dr. Jason Wong, would have performed the surgery at our hospital 3 years ago before the massive rape of equipment from our hospital to go up to their Laguna Hills hospital. He said he would gladly do it there, but he no longer had confidence in the staff support, not those that were there, just the numbers, or equipment. As it turned out, my surgery for 2 feet, 3 inches of colon removal was a 3-hour that became 6 and a 3-day stay that became 8. The service I received at the large hospital didn't come near the services I've received at San Clemente Hospital. I've been hospitalized there in 4 episodes over my 34 years there, and my husband for his emergency appendectomy. This is going to be a travesty to remove our hospital from this community. Most of us moved there for the amenities the community has to offer, that being a medical facility as well. We have all these new residents coming in who presumed, when they probably looked at our community at one point, that that would include emergency services. I live across the street from a fire battalion chief. We hear the ambulances every single day heading south into the abyss of the Camp Pendleton Drive. And we laugh, not out of humor, as to which person is going to die tonight, because they're going to have to do a drive-by to get to Mission. I've been to Mission ER. It was the most disgusting experience I had. I was there with spinal meningitis. I was left for over 3 hours in the emergency room, not given a mask, threw up on 4 occasions in their public bathroom that would not pass anybody's standards. And when I was finally taken in, everybody who worked on me was masked, gloved, and put me in one of those rooms where you go through the vestibule rooms. and yet they left me with children and elderly with no mask for over 3 hours in ER. This is not acceptable, and that's one of the reasons when I walk into ER in San Clemente, you are immediately into a room and taken care of. And the fact that, as has been stated here, that the bed occupancy, you can't have people occupying beds that have been stolen and taken up to the other facility. Literally, beds have been taken out of our hospital to go elsewhere. My most recent surgeries were just done in November and December by Dr. Franklin on trigger thumb, and I had the best service you can imagine. So I think I know that you don't have the power, but ultimately, Emergency Medical Care Committee, this will impact your committee because of the EMT response, because of the need to get patients from their point of emergency to a facility. So this will affect you. And if you live anywhere in our community or know people who do, this is a passionate plea to keep our hospital open and keep our community healthy. Thank you for your time.
Dr. Gustia Lamas, Byron Rex, Andrew Logamorn, Eric Dimitrek, and Adriana Lopez.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Don Hanson. I'm a 75-year resident of San Clemente. In the San Clemente Hospital, the only reason I'm here is because I went flatlined 16 years ago, and they saved my life. So I want to listen to the other lady here talk a minute ago. I think you ought to close the mission and keep San Clemente open the way she was describing it, but I don't think that's fair either. But I'm not here to say that. I'm just trying to say that with that happening, I was fortunate enough to be elected by the President of the United States to be one of three U.S. commissioners on TUNA, so I'm still 82 years old and still kicking, but only because of the emergency room at San Clemente Hospital. So please, in all your wisdom, try to do something to keep that part open. I have one thought that everybody says transportation by an ambulance. I know how many ambulances there are in San Clemente, but if they're on call to mission, what does the other 125,000 people do for the next ambulance? How long do they have to wait? I drove myself. My wife drove me to the hospital. Thank God that happened. A lot of people won't know where to go, where to drive to if they have to drive to an emergency room. So, Dr. Stratton, maybe you have an idea how we can fix all this real quick. Thank you very much.
Don also is the owner of Dana Wharf Sport Fishing.
Commercial.
All right. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen of this committee, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Gus Jalamis. I'm an orthopedic surgeon working in San Clemente. I was the past chief of staff at San Clemente Hospital. I represent the Save San Clemente Hospital Foundation as its chairman. Before I start, I wanted to thank our city council members here for coming and giving their opinions and their research. I applaud them for their leadership and their courage. Over these past 21 months, since Memorial Care has announced the potential closure of the only hospital in deep South Orange County, we the citizens, patients, doctors, nurses, have heard multiple reasons for the closure, depending on the narrative chosen to counter common sense. Dr. Stratton, you told us last year at the City of San Clemente Council meeting that the Memorial Care closure would be insidious. We've lost services, we've lost key employees. You are right. This is the game plan that Memorial has chosen to follow. Today you've heard and will hear multiple personal stories about lives saved at the hospital, which otherwise would not have been saved. You will hear or have heard of jobs lost, these coming from real people in our community. They live and they work there. Dr. Renee Shia, a UCSF researcher, her study in August of 2014, of which I will leave you a copy, her landmark research paper demonstrated the increased mortality and the effects of hospital emergency room closures here in California and its negative impact on the communities surrounding the hospital. Your preliminary draft statement does not reflect the research as well as these personal stories of lives saved. I implore this committee to listen to real people and research and common sense demonstrating that losing the hospital will be detrimental and fatal to some of us in our community every year. I present to this committee over 11,000 petition signatures requesting and demanding that the hospital stay open to fulfill its mission to serve, including the underserved and those with the unmet needs. Those are the seniors. These were also delivered to the CEO of Memorial Care, the not-for-profit public benefit corporation last year. The following is a direct quote from the Dana Point Times as it relates to the San Clemente campus, and I quote, "Every single day, there's someone who would die if we weren't here." This was from the esteemed medical director of the emergency services at Saddleback Memorial Hospital, Dr. Mark Taub, who you know. Ladies and gentlemen of this committee, market forces should not dictate the health and safety of our communities. Keeping this tax-exempt public benefit hospital open is good public policy. Please demonstrate in your report these real negative impacts. Thank you. This is for you. There you go. And
my cart.
And these are the my references. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Byron Rex. I'm a resident of San Clemente, and I am a volunteer football coach at the local high school and like to work out with the kids, but don't let the exterior fool you. Because I will be crying like a baby today. 2009, Super Bowl Sunday. My three-year-old son fell into a pool. I'll be all right. I love this guy. I fished him out of the water on that Sunday. We called 911. We had six people doing CPR on him, including me doing the pumping of his heart, and my wife giving him breath. The ambulance came. This is where I do better. The ambulance was very clean, as a side note, just so you know. I saw the previous slide, so I'm all right now. We took him to Saddleback Hospital, and I'm glad I can tell the rest of the story. Now I'm happy. Xander Rex, life was saved that day. There's articles in all of our local newspapers, including the Orange County Register, of the miracle that he was and is today for us. I just hope we've talked a lot about, and I appreciate some of our older adults further on in life, their lives being saved. But as you work on this report, I understand you guys are not the decision makers, but I'm sure your report will have an impact to just keep a now 10-year-old boy who's the youngest of my three, to just keep him in mind. Because I don't know how you console a father who would have one of his sons not make it. I apologize for my emotions. Again, I'm usually not like this, but I knew this was going to happen. And You're just lucky my wife didn't come, because this timer would have been no good to her. So thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate it. Thank you for your consideration. And I echo the sentiments of everybody else who's spoken today. Thank you very much, committee members.
Can we stop the timer a couple of times?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you for doing that. The crying didn't help, I'm sure.
Morning. My name is Andrew Logeman. I'm a research analyst with SEIU, United Healthcare Workers. United Healthcare Workers represents thousands of healthcare workers throughout Orange County. The OCEMS mission, stated mission, is to plan, coordinate, and oversee the highest quality pre-hospital and emergency medical care and in response to individual needs and community crisis. We believe that the facts surrounding this case in particular lend strong support to continue the operation of San Clemente Emergency Department and warrant your recommendation that CDPH not approve the closure of San Clemente's Emergency Department. Some of these facts have been said already, but I'm going to say them again. There is substantial need for emergency medical services at Saddleback Memorial Medical Center in San Clemente. ED need has increased over recent years. According to hospital utilization data from California Office of Statewide Health Planning and Development, in 2015, the number of total severe visits resulting in admission to San Clemente was 34% higher than in 2014 and higher than at any point since 2009. Second, the closure of emergency services at San Clemente will, at a minimum, double transport time for patients in need of care to the next nearest hospital. This problem is exacerbated by the high rates of diversion at nearby hospitals and will have significant and adverse impact on access and delivery of emergency medical services in San Clemente and its surrounding communities, including the medically underserved population in Dana Point. In 2015, the two nearest hospitals to San Clemente, Saddleback Memorial Medical Center in Laguna Hills and Mission Hospital, had the highest reported number of diversion hours for Orange County's south area. And the study that was mentioned a couple times before as well, that ED closures increase mortality rates in nearby hospitals by up to 15%. That problem would be exacerbated with this closing of San Clemente, so we hope that you recommend that CDPH not approve the closure of San Clemente.
Donna Vidrine, Debbie Weddle, Susan Richel, and Terry Plunkett.
Good morning. My name is Eric Dimitrik, and I'm a research analyst with SEIU, United Healthcare Workers West. We believe the facts surrounding this case lend strong support to continue the operation of San Clemente Medical Center Emergency Department and warrant your recommendation that CDPH not approve the closure of the emergency department. Under California Health and Safety Code Section 1300, your office is required to submit an impact report to the Department of Public Health, which will include your office's recommendation for action, stating whether the request for closure of Saddleback Memorial Medical Center San Clemente should be approved or denied. In considering this decision, we call your attention to the following facts. There continues to be a high demand for emergency medical services at San Clemente Hospital. High diversion rates at nearby hospitals will have an adverse impact to the access and delivery of emergency medical services in San Clemente and its surrounding communities. The closure of San Clemente Hospital's emergency department will increase mortality rates in Orange County's South Region. We find it prudent to point out that San Clemente Medical Center is not operating under a state of financial duress. For example, in fiscal year 2014, San Clemente Medical Center, or Saddleback Memorial Medical Center, reported a net income of $31.2 million and $43.1 million in fiscal year 2015. In addition, it has been reported that Memorial Care has received numerous offers from possible buyers interested in maintaining the emergency services at the hospital. We assert that when a hospital operator seeks to expeditiously close a hospital for non-financial reasons, and when there are other interested buyers, it is in the community's best interest to consider all available options to continue providing those services. Furthermore, we assert that those exercising regulatory authority do so with the local interests of the patients and community in mind. Therefore, we strongly urge your office to recommend that CDPH deny the request of Memorial Care to close the emergency department. Thanks.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Adriana López. Soy, vivo en la comunidad de San Clemente y trabajo en el hospital.
Good morning, almost, almost afternoon. I'm also a community member of San Clemente, and I'm also an employee at San Clemente Hospital for 11 years.
La cuestión que estoy aquí es porque hace dos meses me pasó algo muy grave. Estuve a punto de morir. Si no hubiera llegado a ese hospital cerca, no hubiera podido llegar hasta Mission Viejo.
The reason why I'm here is because a couple of months ago I had a life-threatening incident that if I would have been able to get to San Clemente Hospital, I wouldn't made it to Mission Hospital.
Yeah, en San Clemente me atendieron inmediatamente. Los doctores y las enfermeras fueron muy buenas conmigo. Me atendieron muy bien.
In San Clemente, the staff, the doctors, and the nurses were really kind with me. They really took care of me.
También aprendí mucho ahí, porque mi suegra estuvo enferma de cáncer y toda su enfermedad lo pasó en el hospital, entrando y saliendo, y aprendí mucho en ese hospital los 11 años que he trabajado ahí.
I've learned how to love this hospital. My mother-in-law was also like with a cancer treatment. She was treated and took care of in San Clemente for 4 months, and I've learned how to love and appreciate this hospital.
Por eso es que no quisiera que cerrara en el hospital.
That's why I'm asking you please to help us not to close the hospital.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hello, my name is Donna Vedrine. I'm a business owner and resident in San Clemente. I'm an RN for 36 years. My professional organizations include AORN, A1. I'm an ACLS provider. I'm a military veteran and was active duty Air Force, providing health care services on deployment to military personnel. I fully support and applaud our San Clemente City Council when, after extensive and thorough information gathering, investigation, and collaboration, they have determined that emergency services in San Clemente are essential for the health of our city. Please help us in our efforts to continue to provide emergency services and hospital care to our 60,000-plus residents, including those with limited resources such as our elderly, our disabled, and our homeless. Emergency services and hospital care is essential for a healthy community in San Clemente. Closure of the San Clemente Hospital will so negatively affect emergency care and services in both San Clemente and South Orange County. Thank you for your time.
Eileen, how many more speakers are there?
Six.
We only have 12 minutes. So.
Okay. After the last speaker, Jesus Acosta, Barbara Scheinman, and Marlene Mastrangelo.
Hi, my name is Debbie Weddle. I'm a very long time, I won't say how many years, employee at San Clemente Hospital. My present position is as nursing supervisor. I work both the day shift and the night shift. The few stories that I'm going to say, I was actually on duty and witnessed them firsthand. The first one was a 16-month-old baby that came in respiratory arrest. We intubated the baby, transferred the baby to Chalk Orange per the parents' request that it go to Orange and not to Mission. I called the charge nurse the next day, personally spoke to her. I lost a grandchild at 8 months of age due to something genetic, so I know the pain of losing a child or a grandchild. I called the nurse taking care of the patient, the baby was extubated, eating, hungry, and doing well. She said, kudos to you, or to your UR, to your ER. You saved that baby's life. The next week, another one-year-old came in respiratory distress. We once again intubated, transferred to CHOC, and again saved another baby's life. I don't think any of you would want that to be your child or your grandchild. I was there, I witnessed it, and I saw it. Any delay would have been detrimental to this baby or to these babies. We then had a 22-year-old a couple weeks ago come in full arrest. I then was on duty, and as nursing supervisors, we run the code sheets and run the code. I didn't actually think the patient would make it. She came around. Minutes were absolutely precious. She would not have made it another 5 minutes up the road. She was then transferred to Laguna Hills. The next week, another drug overdose came in. I was in the ER doing rounds. It's a small hospital, so I'm all over the hospital. Watched her myself go downhill within 15 minutes, get intubated again, and transferred to Laguna Hills. We could have taken care of these patients in our hospital had they not closed our ICU and are using an ED room as a stabilization room for transfer to Laguna Hills. Another loss of patients. Another thing that was taken away was our infusion center. They paid a large amount of money to train one of our med-surg nurses to be an oncology nurse. They then closed the infusion center. Tremendous revenue, again, taken away. 2 weeks ago, we had 3 patients come in. There is a 7-hour wait time at Mission Hospital average. They left Mission, came to San Clemente, were treated and released within 2 hours. I also want to point out that a very dear friend of mine's mother lives in Leisure World, or whatever the new world that is called. They were on diversion. They are their bread and butter. They said you can go to Hoag Irvine or you can go to San Clemente. They called her daughter. She said get her to San Clemente. We took care of her, and she was released. I also would like to thank the staff and the doctors. I am so proud to work with each and every one of our registered nurses and our physicians. We may be small, we are mighty, and we are great. And I hope that we continue to be able to do that. Thank you.
Good morning, committee members. My name is Susan Richel. I'm speaking today as a 27-year resident of San Clemente, a current RN at Saddleback San Clemente Hospital, and former mayor of the city. As has been noted, San Clemente is unique in its geography and location at the southernmost tip of Orange County. Our residents and visitors don't have the luxury of choosing what direction to go when they're in need of emergency medical care. Our options are severely limited, and that is why San Clemente Hospital was first built and established in 1972 to fulfill the needs of the local population, which it has done successfully for the last 44 years and absolutely should continue serving the community well into the future. I am extremely concerned that the closure of this hospital and its ER will directly impact the health and safety of our residents and those of surrounding communities. In your staff report, several known facts are noted. I'd like to point out a few additional known facts that I believe may have been overlooked, but are just as important and should be considered by your committee. First, the population of South Orange County is only increasing. When built out, the community of Rancho Mission Viejo alone will add 14,000 new residences, adding potentially 30,000 to 40,000 new individuals, all potentially in need of emergency medical services. And in addition to that, many of the Rancho Mission Viejo communities are senior-restricted 55 and up communities, and we know that senior populations tend to require more frequent emergency medical care than the general population does. Second, the amount of time the next closest hospital is on diversion is actually increasing, as evidenced by your first quarter diversion report, up to nearly 11% of the time during the first quarter this year, from 7.8% in 2015. What will these numbers look like after the hospital closes, and what will this mean for the patients who have a medical emergency when all the nearest ERs are on diversion? It just sounds like an untenable and dangerous scenario to me. Third, while San Clemente Hospital may not be designated as a cardiovascular receiving center, it has saved countless lives of those in need of those in full cardiac arrest, like Don Hansen and Xander Rex, who were brought back to life and stabilized, who absolutely would not have survived a lengthy ambulance trip up the freeway. I speak for those survivors and their families who could not be here today. These are just a few examples of facts that appear not to have been taken into consideration by your staff, and I encourage you to please consider these facts as you move forward. Don't just look at the numbers and transport distances being within the maximum allowed distance. You must also consider people's lives that will be placed in greater jeopardy due to the untimely and unnecessary closure of this hospital. You can make a difference when completing your final impact report, and I thank you for your consideration.
Good morning. My name is Jesus Acosta. I'm a member of the community as well as an employee of Saddleback Memorial. 26 years ago, I was born at the hospital in San Clemente, and I've used the hospital ever since. I've had surgeries there. A couple of my brothers have been born there. I feel like this hospital is a vital importance to the community. As you can see, I'm standing here thanks to the hospital 26 years later and as an employee of Saddleback. I feel that taking the services away will take away from the community and the necessity of us being together and coming together as a community to save a hospital. The importance of this hospital is a lot, not just as an employer, but for those around me. I have a grandma, and she's not getting any younger with time. And I would hate to know that she passed away in a ride ambulance to a hospital where she could have been saved maybe 5 minutes where she lives from. She lives in 5 minutes away from the community, and it would be heartbreaking for me to find out that she passed away because a hospital closed that I worked at, and nothing was done to be able to save it. They say that you don't know what you had until it's gone, and I would hate for that to be an occasion to this. I feel that we should do something, and I am here trying to be a part of this movement to save the hospital, not just as an employer, I said, but I have personally used this hospital myself, and I would like this not just for the future generations, my generation, but the generations before me to be able to use the services that I have used as well. So thank you for your time.
Oh, okay. Hey, my name is Terry Plunkett. I've worked at San Clemente Hospital for 23 years in the radiology department. You've heard the stories about the lives that have been saved. But I'll tell you, I'm here for my sister. My sister is 37 years old, lived in South Orange County, and the hospitals were on diversion. She had an unexpected heart condition that we didn't know of. They took her to Mission Hospital. They didn't have any thoracic surgeons, no cardiac surgeons available. By the time she was able to get into operating room, she had already had cardiac arrest by 10 times. Anyway, she didn't make it. So, you hear these stories, they're the lucky ones. They made it because of the services. My sister didn't. She died. She didn't die that day. She was brain dead from lack of oxygen, from transport. And, you know, I've had many job offers. You know, like I said, I've been there 23 years. I'm here for the community. I'm here for you. I'm here for, you know, the people. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. I mean, there's people who want to buy that hospital. Please do all you can. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Barbara Scheinman, and I've been a social worker for 42 years. 21 years ago, I came to the hospital in San Clemente, and I've been there ever since. The impact of not having a hospital in San Clemente is that in my 21 years at San Clemente, there hasn't been a day that has gone by when there hasn't been at least one person seen in our emergency department who would not have survived a trip to a more distant hospital. I am here to talk about just some of the many populations that will be impacted by not having a hospital in San Clemente. One population I see a lot of in San Clemente is teens and 20-somethings who have overdosed on drugs, as many as 6 in 1 week. There is a bad drug problem, especially heroin, among residents of San Clemente and the cities nearby. But these young people are not usually brought to us by the paramedics. More often, they are dropped off at our emergency entrance by a panicked friend who then quickly drives away. These young patients are often close to death when we receive them, and every second counts. Panic youths are not going to drive their dying young friends all the way to hospitals in Mission Viejo or Laguna Beach. And the dying youth would not survive the drive even if they did. If you are a parent, if the drug epidemic is impacting you right now, it impacts someone you know or your children know. We all need to be caring that these young people will die without a hospital in San Clemente. Because San Clemente and the surrounding cities have so many homeless people, a significant percentage of my hospital patients have been homeless people. As a matter of fact, because I've had so many homeless patients from the area, I was asked to be on the board of directors of 2 Orange County homeless organizations. I'm talking to you now about the medical care of these citizens of San Clemente and South County cities, those people who are most in need, are most vulnerable. A great number of my homeless patients are veterans, people who served this country, served you and me, and are now on the streets due to mental health issues resulting from that service. They need medical care, too. There is no VA hospital in Orange County. The closest VA hospitals are in Los Angeles County and San Diego County. Many homeless veterans in Orange County are coming for medical care to the hospital in San Clemente. The most heartbreaking patient I ever cared for as a social worker was a 70-year-old veteran who had been homeless for 10 years. He was in our hospital many times for very real medical reasons and was usually also treated psychiatrically afterwards because he was so depressed. Whenever he was admitted to our hospital, he always told me that he was so grateful for our hospital because when he became very sick, he always knew he had a place where people would care for him and care about him. He always wore our hospital name band because it reminded him that there was a place to go if he needed help. One day, the Orange County Sheriffs came to our hospital to notify us that this gentleman, a United States veteran, had intentionally stepped in front of a train in San Clemente and killed himself. They identified him from our hospital's ID bracelet that he wore every day to remind him of us, to give him comfort despite his suffering. It was as if we were his next of kin. It broke my heart then, but it breaks my heart now to think that other homeless veterans in San Clemente won't have a place that they can get to themselves when they need hospitalization, whereas this gentleman said people will care for them and care about them. Without a hospital they can get to, our homeless, our veterans, our drug-addicted youth, our most vulnerable are going to die on our streets. The past 21 years, I've seen so many people whose lives have depended on this hospital being in San Clemente. But we are even more concerned about the years to come and the people to come and the lives to come. Aren't you?
Hello. I'm not only a nurse at San Clemente Hospital, but a resident of San Clemente for the last 9 years, and I have 2 small children. I am concerned about my family and the community safety in case of emergency. I have noticed in the last 5 years the traffic has increased immensely, just from Avenida Palisada to Avenida Pico, which is the next exit, has taken me 15 minutes. And I can only imagine in the summer when it's even more traffic and the hospital's closed, all the emergencies that could happen, the drownings at the beach, you know, as mentioned before, cardiac arrests, overdoses, strokes, etc. Just last week, a 3-year-old had a clogged trach and would not have made it if they had gone to the next hospital. We also had two young men who had aneurysms that needed to be airlifted from our facility to another facility because they may have ruptured during a longer transport. A personal friend also had an emergency appendectomy and would not have made it. There are several other stories, as you've already heard. Fatalities would have happened if not for our hospital. We are not a large town with a small hospital. We are a large town with only one hospital. Thank you.
Okay, that concludes our testimony in the public hearing. And just want to thank everybody for the great information and your testimony, your input, and it will all be utilized in the final impact report. Dr. Stratton, is there anything else that we need to do at this point?
We could take any comments from the committee if there are any.
It seems to me, after listening to the testimony and the folks in the audience with their stories, that there's a demonstrated need for this type of service and facility. Memorial Care does not appear to be receptive to continuing there. The report that's been prepared, the temporary or the draft report that we have, does not identify some of the real issues that seem to exist, the freeway construction for the next 2 years. It doesn't recognize the new building that's going on that's going to add 600 potential more residents, other growth that has been mentioned by speakers. I think the report must reflect those needs in the area and focus on a different option to the closure. There's been testimony about people interested in buying the facility. I would, as a member of the committee, I would favor that we strongly pursue the idea that there's more to this than just statistics that affect the future and the well-being of residents in the area, both current and potential in the future. And while we can't make the final determination, we sure should be strong on what we say and follow the needs that have been shown. I'm a little bit surprised of the hospital suing the city over this, over the zoning things. Being an elected official, I see lawsuits come to us all the time, but there's more than just the statistics, and statistics can be viewed different ways, but I would hope when you do your final report, Dr. Stratton, that we strongly reflect a lot of what we've heard here today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, and I think the input was very good. I actually have three pages of notes, and we have been recording everything, and I think the input has been very, very helpful, and obviously our draft report is a draft, and it needs to be fleshed out to reflect the input that we received today. As the EMS medical director and representing the healthcare agency, I very much appreciate everybody's dedication to this issue. The decorum was excellent and very constructive and very helpful for us. So I appreciate everybody's input, and we'll be working on the report through the rest of the day and the weekend, and we expect to reflect the input of the speakers as well as other input that we've received in writing.
Through the chair. I'd also just like to echo the comments that committee member Gross articulated. From the ambulance perspective, I have had a conversation with the city's assistant city manager. They have arranged for increased ambulance service here today. I understand that when that temporary arrangement concludes, that the city may look to go out to competitive bid to provide ancillary service to back up the city service going forward. I believe those are all plans that have relationship to what's occurring in the city, both in the growth, the new demographics, as well as the closure of San Clemente Hospital. So to the extent that we can include something about the additional need for ambulance resources as a result of this closure, I would encourage the agency to consider adding that to the report. And then also, again, I support the idea of at least underscoring the testimony today that is strongly encouraging the current property owner to consider other offers that would allow that property to continue on as an acute care hospital with an ongoing emergency department. And I think if we could add that in as an underscore of what we heard, that would be appreciated. Thank you. And I thank you to all of you who spoke and those of you who are here today in support. And I feel for you and your community.
Any other comments? Great. And I know a lot of us here have been taking notes, so we're going to add to Dr. Stratton's numerous notes, a lot of great points. So all of those will be addressed. And thank you also, Mr. Mayor and members of council that took their time out of the day to come up. That's awesome. So thank you, everybody, for that. And we'll close the public hearing. At this point, our any other member comments on anything else, roundtable? Nothing there. Okay, our next meeting will be Friday, July 29th. And at this point, we are adjourned. Thank you.